Okay, well, it is 3 o'clock. We are missing one commissioner. I was hoping he would make it before three, but I don't want to keep you all waiting. So I'm going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. I want to welcome everyone to the Savannah-Chatham County Historic Site and Monument Commission meeting for this August the 3rd, 2023. The first order of business is hopefully the commissioners have all been able to look over the meeting minutes, and if there are no corrections, entertain a motion to approve the meeting minutes for July the 13th.
Eileen Baker, I make a motion to approve the minutes for July 13th.
So there's a motion to approve. Sean?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean, second.
So there's a motion to approve the meeting minutes and a second. So without objection, any objections, meeting minutes for July the 13th, 2023 are approved. We have a number of things on the agenda today. The first item on our regular agenda is the petition of the Savannah Bee Company. We'll try to keep this brisk because I know there's a lot of folks here that are going to need to speak. So moving along, we're going to go with the petition of the Savannah Bee Company and on 313 Stiles Avenue, and staff will make a presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. This is Caitlin Chamberlain presenting the application for 313 Stiles Avenue. The applicant is requesting approval for installation of a mural on the property located at 313 Stiles Avenue. The mural is proposed to wrap around the southwest corner of the building. It will be approximately 18 feet tall and 70 feet wide and painted with high-quality exterior paints. The mural title is Honeybees, the Role Model for Living. Here's the mural sketch. And just go back and kind of show the actual building where it's proposed to go. And then the location area here. 313 Stiles Avenue is a warehouse building on the corner of Stiles Avenue and Feely Avenue. It is not within a historic district, nor is the building historic. With regards to the site in relation to theme, staff found that a mural on the side of a building of a local business is an appropriate location to support public art in the community. For the applicant, the theme is that bees are role models for living. Honeybees show us that many different people of all backgrounds can live in harmony and work together for the common good. Historically, bees have been symbols of industry, progress, divine messaging, fertility, wisdom, and religion. This theme is one that applies to the world at large as well as to the local community. For the location, the mural will not cover or detract from significant or character-defining architectural features as it is not a historic building. The mural will be incorporated into the facade and will complement and enhance the building and surrounding area, which is near the Inmarket Arena. For the applicant, the mural will be part of a larger beautification on the eastern yard of 313 Stiles Avenue, where flowering plants, rain gardens, and interpretive bee habitat will be installed. As well as the mural, bees and hives will be indications of what is happening inside the building with Savannah Bee fulfillment operations, as well as a proposed experimental bee tour that will take place in the future. With regard to the design, the standards are met. The scale of the mural will cover one facade and is appropriate to the building and site. The design is appropriate to the building site in the context of the surrounding neighborhood. The mural is an original design by the artist Matt Wiley. The artist is proposing the use of high pigment color paints, including Modern Masters theme paint, and coated with a flat varnish to protect from sun damage and weather. Let's get some of the other artist artwork samples up here. So the artist chosen is Matt Wiley, who has created several similar murals in locations such as the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences, the American Embassy in Beijing, China, and the Smithsonian National Zoo in Washington, D.C. The applicant provided further works by the artist and a link to the website, which verifies the quality of Wiley's work. With regard to funding, the applicant is funding the work and will be responsible for upkeep of the mural. There was public notice, as standard, was posted on the property 15 days prior to the meeting, and letters mailed to nearby property owners. No comments were received from the public. So with that, staff recommends approval of the mural at 313 Stiles Avenue as requested, because the public art project meets the standards and the master planning guidelines for markers, monuments, and public art. Thanks, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thanks, Caitlin. Is the petitioner here? Okay, hold on just a second. We'll get to you. I just wanted to see if you were here. Thanks, Caitlin. Any questions of the staff? Sean?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. Real quick, and this might also go to the petitioner as well, but can you scroll up to the proposed design? Right there. So is Savannah Bee Company going to be included in it, or is in the mural? Is that not part of the mural?
It's not part of the mural.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions of staff? Lisa.
Thank you. This is Lisa. Do you know the statement, number 7, that says something about a statement? Is that going to be on the mural, or is that going to be on a sign outside of the mural? Number 7 says, provide a statement indicating how the proposed work of art will enhance the space and relate to its surroundings. Oh,
that was just kind of like describing.
That's part of the application.
Yeah, not putting it on. There's no wording to be on there as far as I know.
Okay.
At all? Any other questions of staff? There's no other questions of staff. We can hear from the petitioner. If you have words to speak, if you don't have words to speak, that's your prerogative. If you could just come up to the mic and state your name for the record.
Hi, thank you very much. I'm Ted Dennard. I'm the owner of Savannah Bee Company, and yeah, we're really excited. I just would say to be over there at Stiles across from the arena, and are looking forward to kind of raising the bar a little bit and kind of, I think this will help beautify the area. We're going to put a bunch into this mural, which will be certainly way more colorful than this layout here. And then we'll do a lot of landscaping that we are hiring a professional landscaper that's going to make that yard, look great and be flowering and have some trees. And so we feel like it'll be an improvement. And we're excited to be in the neighborhood.
It's great. I love it. I think it's great. I'm a big fan of, if there's a blank wall, you should paint something on it because it just looks better, right? But it also looks like the artist, this is in his wheelhouse, obviously.
Right.
Is he local or is he regional? It looks like
he lives, I think, in upstate New York and has just, I don't know, like dedicated his life's mission here to paint 50,000 bees to raise awareness about pollinators around the world. And so we're excited to work with him, and he was excited to work with us. So it's kind of good.
I think it's great. Kudos. I think it's great. Kudos. Any questions of the petitioner? Lisa?
Hi.
Hi.
Quick question about, especially, I love the mural, and your whipped lemon honey is my favorite thing in all of Savannah. I'm just curious though about, the honeybees, and it's their part in scaring native bees away, because I mean, as research has shown the last 20 years, that they are very aggressive to native bees, being non-native, and their sole purpose is to protect the colony and the queen. So how is that going to be addressed, in the garden and everything?
I'm sure this is probably not the forum for all this, but yeah, I think there's some misinformation there. There's 25,000 species of bees around the world. We have like 3,000 native North American bee species. Honeybees were brought here 400 years ago. I'm a believer that they all live and work together. If there was a finite floral source, but honestly, there's enough to go around for all the pollinators, butterflies, everybody. So I've heard that question, but I've never heard or seen any evidence to that it's, they're, detrimental to the native bees. But specifically, we are going to highlight native bees like the mason bees and leaf cutting bees. And what you can do to help provide habitat for them in your own yard. So we'll be having people that can come to that area and look around, and we'll have some signage like next to the plants and like you rake the leaves to that's good for mason bees, or you leave the leaf clutter at this time of year that's good for the you know, whichever leaf cutting bees and stuff. So and we like to have example little habitat houses for them to promote not just honeybees but native bee species too.
Okay, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. Thank you.
Okay, yes, we are. We're spreading the gospel of the bees, that's for sure.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions of petitioner? No? Thank you, sir.
Thank you guys so much.
Now we move to the public comment period. If there is any, I should ask, I'm going to assume the artist isn't here. Correct, okay. If we have anyone here, I'm sorry, Caitlin, did you want to say something? Okay. If there's anyone online here to speak on this petition, you can use the raise your hand feature. Is there anyone here present to speak on this petition? Doesn't look like it. Anyone online? Okay. So if there's no one here to speak in the public comment period, can entertain discussion of this mural or a motion. Sean?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. I kind of just really want to reiterate everything that everybody had already said. It's a great mural. I like it. And since the artist is not from Savannah, there's no requirement for the artist of a mural in Savannah to be from Savannah or the local area. I know we've been lambasted for people from out of state or out of city, whatever, putting up murals. I think it's a great idea. An artist who wants to put up a mural anywhere, as long as it's approved, I think it's good. I make a motion to approve staff's recommendation for the proposed mural.
Okay, so there is a motion on the table to approve staff's recommendation. Is there a second?
Eileen, second.
So the motion is to approve the staff recommendation of this petition, and there's a second. Catherine, how do you vote?
This is Catherine. I vote yes.
Eileen, yes.
Lisa, yes.
Sean, yes.
Motion passes. Congratulations. Thank you, sir. Looks great. I can't wait to see. If you have an unveiling, please let us know, and we would love to attend. Seriously, it'd be awesome. Okay, moving along. We now have the item 3 on the regular agenda is the petition of the City of Savannah at the intersection of Abercorn Street and East Wayne Street for a historical marker for square, and this is the square that we will be talking about in the next item. And we will hear from staff.
Thank you. This is Caitlin Chamberlain again. The applicant is requesting approval of a granite ground marker in a landscape bed within the public square located at Abercorn and Wayne Streets. The purpose is to identify and commemorate the history of this public square, including its establishment, former name of Calhoun Square, and the new name. The proposed marker will provide a brief history of the establishment and naming of the square. Just to kind of show, here's on the map, and then a photograph of the proposed location and a mock-up of the proposed design, granite stone with an inscription with the proposed text to just say, you know, new name of whatever the square is, laid out 1851, named Calhoun Square in honor of John C. Calhoun with the years, and then named in honor of the new honoree. So this is just merely TBD, but just to get the design approved. The themes include civic and institutional, local history. The marker provides a record of the City of Savannah's actions regarding this public space and commemorates its history. The proposed marker will signify the original name of the square to provide a public history of the name. The marker is highly specific to this square and thus is not sufficiently commemorated elsewhere in the county. Events and persons associated with the marker have all occurred over 50 years ago. Living persons are not proposed to be commemorated with this marker. The size of the marker is small enough that it will not cause overcrowding of the square. It would be sited far enough away from other objects in a landscape bed on the west center, adjacent to the western north-south sidewalk through the square. Regarding below-ground utilities, the information was not provided. However, the city is making the request and will ensure there are no below-ground utilities present that would be disrupted by the installation. There are no above-ground utilities in the proposed location. And let's see. Public notice was sent as required in the master plan and guidelines. As of this writing of the report, no comments were received from the public. The staff recommendation is staff recommends that the Historic Site and Monument Commission recommend approval to City Council for the application to install a granite ground marker in the public square located at Abercorn and Wayne Streets as requested, because the project meets the standards in the master plan and guidelines for markers, monuments, and public arts. Thanks, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thanks, Caitlin. And I have a question then. There aren't any other plaques or that sort of thing in that square, are there?
I don't believe so. We can confirm with the petitioner.
It's fairly empty, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, okay. And my other question, and maybe this is a question of staff, I mean of the city, That is all of the text, correct? I mean, with the brackets under being understood that that'll be filled in, but that's the extent of the text, correct?
Correct.
Okay. That's all my questions. Any other questions of staff? Sean?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. This might also be a question for city, but I'll ask it now anyway. Is there going to be any other notification as to what the current name or what the approved name of the square will be? So for example, if the finalized name is, and this is not one of the choices, so I'm using it as an example, if the approved name is Squarey McSquareface Square, is it only going to be notated on this marker, or is there going to be another sign somewhere else in the square to notate that it's Squarey McSquareface Square? That's probably a question for
the city.
Yeah. No problem. Thank you.
This is a question of staff.
I think so.
Lisa, yeah.
Is the 30 by 12 inch, is that a concrete pour or is that part of the monument?
I think it's just like a granite slab base.
Oh, okay.
Probably another question for the city.
All right.
Luciana, come on up.
Luciana Spraker with the City of Savannah Municipal Archives. So let me see if I can backtrack over the questions you asked, starting with the most recent. Those are two granite pieces, so the granite base and then the granite top piece where the text is inscribed. Since we don't quite have the name yet, it is a little, you know, obviously we're coming forward with sort of a template that we're going to follow, very simply to cover sort of the establishment and naming of the square's history. There will be other directional signs reinstalled like they are in all the other squares with the new name once it is adopted by council. Park and Tree is ready to move forward on that at the point that has. So when you approach squares, you're used to seeing those pole markers. Those will all be there. I did want to mention that one of the questions was, is there anything else in the square? There was a in the ground, flush in the ground with the walkway plaque that showed when it was named and who it was named for when it was named for John C. Calhoun. That was removed at the time City Council voted to remove the name Calhoun from the square. So this marker, this new marker helps to replace that, but actually makes it more visible because it's upright. And there is also, a great desire that we still somehow note the history of this prior name, which the mayor committed to do. So this is replacing that one marker that was removed, which is in the archives and can be viewed by people if they so want to see that. And I think I hit all the questions.
Yeah, and I remember that the plaque that is flush in the ground. But so there's no other objects in that park.
I don't think so. It's one of the few squares that does not have a centerpiece.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions of this?
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Will there be rock or concrete under the monument?
In terms of its installation, we would probably, work out those details for what's underground.
Okay.
I can't answer that question. That would probably be more a question for Park and Tree and the monument company.
Just so it doesn't sink in 100 years.
Anything else?
Sean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. So if I understand it, I don't think you answered it, but I just want for clarification. Is there going to be a ground name plate like it was previously? So, for example, would – why do I pick the longest name on earth? Squarey McSquareface Square be one of the walk path – or would there be like a marker in the walkway through the square that says Squarey McSquareface Square? Or is it not known at this time?
Yeah, I believe it's going to be the upright post that go around the square.
They're sort of the brownish signs, right? They're upright signs.
Okay. Yeah. I just didn't know there was going to be one on the ground as well. So, okay, no problem.
I don't think so.
Any other questions? City? Eileen?
So the placement.
Let me make sure.
So the placement of this is pretty much where the old plaque was?
No, the placement, the place was selected in consultation with Park and Tree. Mm-hmm. So this is adjacent to one of the center walkways where they had a landscape bed that had a nice clear opening. So you're looking in this picture, you're looking west from the center of the square. So you would walk by it. When you're walking a northwest walkway, you'd also be walking toward it when you're walking across east-west.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions of the city? It's pretty straightforward. Seems reasonable.
We're just trying to get ahead so when they switch the name, we're ready to go.
And I like that it's upright and not just flush in the ground so you can see.
Yeah, and if you have were curious why we didn't go back to our bronze plaque, like the last one, with some discussion with Park and Tree, this will allow a little bit easier maintenance for them to have instead engraved granite.
Yeah, makes sense. Thanks, Lucia.
Thank you.
So now there is a public comment period for this specific plaque, not for the naming of the square, but for this specific plaque. Is there anyone here to comment that wants to make a public comment on this petition? Yes. And if there's anyone online that wants to make a comment on this plaque, specifically the plaque, use the raise your hand feature.
Good afternoon, Commission. My name is Pat Gunn, and I'm speaking now as a citizen. I've walked all 22 squares, and none of those squares have a little thing sticking out of the grass that represents that square. I don't like it. I think that if we have had four markers in the ground on the east side, the west side, the north, and the south of Calhoun, and that has been removed, why can't we replace them with whomever the city and the mayor selects? I think that the Monument Sites Committee needs to really look at this piece. It has the red indicator, and it's showing that we're going to put a marker for a brand new square in the grass in a hurricane town. I think we need to really look at that, because if we compare that with the other squares, I would be ashamed to bring a tourist or a local person to look at a tiny little place, $1,393.15, when we have a $5.5 million budget to do better. This is an opportunity for a brand new square to have something respectful. I disagree with the Park and Tree. And the question I have is, does the Park and Tree Commission have the discretionary power to make this decision? Or is this a decision that comes from your planning commission? Or is this a decision that comes from the city council and mayor? Let the record show that I, as a citizen, think that this is insulting. And to tell you the truth, it is causing me a lot of trauma, because this square needs to be a beautiful square, whomever it belongs to in terms of the name. And I would literally have to walk all the way down to the center, and I would have to lean over to look at that. I disagree respectfully, and I ask that you consider the vision for a new Savannah. We will have an equitable signage like all the other 22 squares. Thank you.
Thank you. So those comments are heard and they're a matter of public record. I have a point of clarification. This would have to go to City Council to be approved as well, correct? So we are going to make a recommendation and this plaque itself will still have to go through City Council. Okay, I'm being told yes, that's correct. Joe, do you want to comment? I know.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Joe Sherhouse with the City of Savannah. Just a point of clarification. When the square receives a new name from City Council, that name will be erected in the exact same format that all of our other squares are recognized. I just want to avoid any confusion that this petition somehow relates to the new name. It does not. The new name will be placed identically represented on this square as all the others. This will simply indicate all the names that the square has possessed over the years.
Okay. Thank you for that. And Kayla, maybe it would help if you put up the text of the proposed marker as well. So to be clear, we are just making a recommendation here. We're not going to here to redesign. Comments have been heard though. Anyone else here to comment on this particular plaque? Anyone online? Doesn't look like it. So we could entertain conversation about this. Again, we're not here. We are not allowed. We can't, you know, redesign this plaque. I think the commenter makes a good comment, but any comments, any discussion, Sean?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. So I've got a couple of things I want to say. First off, to address the comments question, the Park and Tree Commission does not get involved in monuments. We have no, for full disclosure, I am the de facto member again. Anybody who was there at the Park and Tree Commission meeting on July 18th, I'm the chairman of the Park and Tree Commission. That's why I sit on the Historic Site and Monument Commission. Monuments and that does not come in front of the Park and Tree Commission, so that is not part of our jurisdiction. When they were referring to Park and Tree, that was the Park and Tree Department, not Park and Tree Commission, unless it was specifically stated, Ms. Fraker mentioned the Park and Tree Commission, and I believe Mr. Sherhouse also mentioned Park and Tree Commission as well. So to clarify that, and Mr. Sherhouse, thank you also for clarifying that there will also be the ground knit markers for whatever the square name is, correct? I know you said it's going to look exactly like all of the other ones. I think that's what the petition, what the public comment was making sure. And you clarified that it's going to look exactly like the same. This is just an additional monument stating, hey, it was also named whatever previously. I don't know if this is out of turn, but I think that there's some confusion.
It's worth clarifying.
Yeah. Thank you, Commissioner Joe Sherhouse, City of Savannah. So to answer your question about the inset plaques in the walkways, that discussion has not taken place. I'm sure we're open to have a conversation about installing those. I know that the intent is when the square receives its permanent name, that name will be displayed in the same fashion that names are displayed on all of our other squares. So if the plaques is what's required to meet that particular requirement, I think we're certainly willing to have that conversation.
Okay.
And as I understand it then, this plaque particularly is unique in that the name has been changed. So this is a sort of document of that. Is that correct?
Correct. This is a display of the names of that this square has possessed through the years. So this is acknowledging the history of the square. It's not the current name of the square, therefore it's set off separate in one individual location. The new name will be much more prominent and will also be recorded on this exact same plaque.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. Any other questions, comments, discussion? Do we want to move forward with this? Do we want to discuss it anymore? Or a motion to approve or a motion to amend? Sean?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. I make a motion to approve staff's recommendation with the additional statement of ensuring that the ground inset square names are also taken into consideration as well. And I don't know how best to word that, but
I don't know if that's the purview of this. I think this is
that's kind of where I'm at as well.
Like, I think this is either an approved or not approved situation here. I think the city has heard our concerns though and has heard.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm. I mean, my motion is to approve the staff's recommendation, but I also want to make sure that exactly what was previously stated is also taken into consideration as well. So maybe that should be a second almost corollary addendum of motion. I don't know. I'm not good on my.
I think we need to either approve or not approve this particular petition. I mean, we've expressed that we want to make sure that the same attention is given to this square as the other squares.
Then,
and I think that's been heard, but I don't know that that needs to be a part of the motion.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
With that being said, then I make a motion to approve staff's recommendation as stated.
So there's a motion to approve staff recommendation. Is there a second?
This is Catherine, a second.
So there is a motion to approve staff recommendation for this petition of the city of Savannah at the intersection of Apricorn Street and East Wayne Street for the historical marker for the square, and it has been seconded. Catherine, how do you vote?
Yes.
Nick, you need to turn on your mic. Make sure we know how you vote.
Yes.
Eileen, yes.
Lisa, yes.
Sean, yes.
Motion passes. Thank you all. Okay, now, for what everyone is here for, the number four on our regular agenda. This is broken down into individual petitions. I'll say this really quick out front. If you're here to speak as part of the petition, if you are the petitioner, I requested just one individual come up and speak as part of the application. If there are additional folks to speak, you can do that during the public comment period. So we're gonna accommodate everyone who needs to speak here. But I would ask that you please just limit it to 2 minutes if possible. The applicants and the petitioners, you know, I can be lenient on that time. Just understand that we have all as commissioners read through all of the applications. So we have thoroughly gone through every application. There's no need to actually reread the application. I think we want to hear more of the passion behind it, why you think this should be the name and that sort of thing, if that makes sense. So first we're going to hear from staff and then we'll go through each petitioner. Caitlin, I think, are you going to just go through each individual one, or you want to go through one and then let the petitioner and then the second and let the petitioner?
I think we could do it that, like what you just said.
Okay. Okay.
And just go through them one at a time.
That's fine.
With that, because just keep it, we'll keep
Works
it flowing
me.
Though. All right. Okay, so the applicant is requesting approval to name the currently unnamed public square at the intersection of Abercorn Street and Wayne Street to the name Creek Square to commemorate some of the earliest indigenous inhabitants of the region prior to English colonization. The Creek people resided in this area prior to the 1733 establishment of the city of Savannah. With regard to similar names, staff is not aware of any other existing property with name duplication. In consideration of community diversity, the underrepresented native groups, primarily the Lower Creeks, bring a level of diversity to the community that is currently lacking for the applicant. Prior to English settlement of this region, it was inhabited by people of several Native American tribes, including the Creeks, Cherokees, Chickasaws, and Yemeses. Today, members of the Muscogee, Creek, Yemisee, Cherokee, Shawnee, and Catawba tribes all recognize Chatham County as their ancestral lands. I'm going to go through this portion here just for this one because it will apply to all of them, but just the historical significance of pre-existing name or location. The previous name of Calhoun Square was removed by Savannah City Council in 2022. It had been named Calhoun Square in 1851. After U.S. Senator and Vice President John C. Calhoun. In this instance, it was determined that the name no longer reflected the values of the city of Savannah, as Calhoun was a staunch supporter of slavery and was known as the biggest advocate of the constitutional theory of state nullification. With regard to the appropriateness and compatibility of the request in relation to the existing area, the standard is met. As mentioned above, the land, which is now the city of Savannah, was originally inhabited by Native tribes. Thus, the proposed name of Creek Square would be appropriate and compatible with the existing area. So the applicant provided a statement of reasons supporting the renaming request, stating historical information indicates that General James Oglethorpe negotiated a treaty with the indigenous people of the Lower Creek tribe for the transfer of land, thus initiating Savannah's colonization. Due to the fact that Savannah's native indigenous presence was never the same after this treaty came into effect, it is only right for any portion of land in the historic district to be committed to the Lower Creeks and all other tribes residing in this region at that time. Now, the applicant did provide an endorsement letter from District 2 Alderman Ledigates. And with that, staff recommends that the Historic Site and Monument Commission recommend approval to the Savannah City Council for consideration of the name Creek Square for the currently unnamed public square at the intersection of Abercorn Street and Wayne Street, as requested, because the proposed name meets the standards within Article E, naming and renaming of public property, facilities, and streets. Thank you, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Caitlin. I think we had a little technical glitch there, but you all can see what's on the screens now. Okay. Any questions of staff on this specific petition? Sean?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. I think I know the answer, but I just want clarification. All 14 applications will have that same staff recommendation. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, we recommend just that they move forward for consideration by the council.
That's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure. So
sure.
Just in the interest of time, Mr. Chairman, would you say that that's okay for her to skip reading that going
sure.
forward?
Sure. Yeah. And for everyone present, I think the role of staff here is to just make sure that meets all the criteria. Their recommendation is to us to make a recommendation, basically. So as long as these applications meet all the criteria, which the city has reviewed and now staff has reviewed, that's the recommendation. So yeah, I would be fine with that.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions of staff? And if not, we can hear from the petitioner. If you could just state your name for the record.
First of all, greetings to the commission and the city of Savannah. My name is Angel Brayboy. I am a native of Savannah, and I'm currently a Savannah resident. But long story short, she summed it up very eloquently about what was going on with the Creeks and the rest of our indigenous peoples here. We have over 15 million people coming here every year, and when they get here, all they have to lean on in terms of Native American reference, for the most part, is either Yamacraw Village or Hitch Village. And that is appalling, because right now, our Native Indigenous peoples as residents are extremely underrepresented. In 2020, we had approximately 271 Native American people living in Savannah. As of 2022, our ratio is at 0.2% for those peoples, which means that we rose to about 300 people. And so while that's, you know, for some, they say, who cares? Nobody cares. Just let the tourists come in and see what they see, give us their money and leave. I do think that if we are going to take the square from someone who was a bigot, a segregationist, and someone who simply wasn't born and raised here, the least we could do is give it back to the people that it rightfully belongs to, and that is the people of the Creek Nation and the other tribes within that nation. I will take any questions that you have, but I really want the commission and the city of Savannah at large to visit this and think about this. There's nothing going on in the middle of our city in terms of representing the peoples of the Native Indigenous world. And also, it has been brought to my attention that they are not attracted to living in Savannah at this current time due to what has happened in the past.
Thank you. I will say this right up front. I mean, I think that reading through all of these applications, everyone did a really phenomenal job. It was one of the pleasures of being on this commission is reading some of these histories and being able to like find stories that we haven't and be educated about stories that we haven't before. And I commend you for that. And I will say that we had a number of letters of support for all of these petitions. Lisa, the vice chair, and myself tried to count as many as we could. We had two letters in the packet that the city left us, and so I just wanted to make note of that. Did any commissioners have any questions of the petitioner? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time. And I think that maybe I'll consult with the commissioners. Would you rather wait for the public comment period at the very end or do them individually? I think I would prefer to go with the public comment at the end for everyone. So if there's no objection. So if there's anyone to speak on this petition, we'll wait till the end of all of our 14, and then we'll open up public comment for everyone, if that's okay.
Chairman, if you can, for the purpose of minutes, it's sure. Easier for us if the comments are made when the
never mind then
speaks, just for our minutes.
That's fine.
It makes it easier.
It's six of one, half a dozen of another,
right,
for me.
But it's
so
for
that,
us,
that's
it
totally
makes
fine.
It easier. Thank you.
So if in that case, if there's no other questions of the petitioner, then if there's anyone here to speak on this petitioner for against, or if there's anyone online to make a comment on this petition, use the raise your hand feature. If there's anyone here in the room, please just maybe raise your hand. If there's not, we can move along. There's no one online? Okay. Okay, so we'll use that format going forward. Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate it. So we'll move along to the second, to the fifth item on the agenda, petition of Andrew Jones or Casey Square. We'll hear from staff.
Just as an aside before I start, just a reminder to everybody, if you have not signed in, even if you don't plan to speak, please do so right outside the door. There's a sign-in sheet. All right, so without further ado, this is Caitlin Chamberlain presenting the petition for the Casey Square proposal. The applicant is requesting approval to name the currently unnamed public square at the intersection of Abercorn Street and Wayne Street to the name Casey Square to commemorate Dr. John Aloysius Casey, a physician who died treating Savannians afflicted with yellow fever during the yellow fever epidemic of 1819 to 1821. Casey succumbed to the disease in 1819 while treating hundreds of patients. He practiced medicine with his brother-in-law, Dr. Richard McAllister Berrien, a son of Major John Berrien. Berrien also died from contracting yellow fever while treating patients in 1820. Additionally, Casey, along with a group of local physicians, started fundraising for the first African-American hospital in Savannah, the Georgia Infirmary. Although it was not established until 1832, long after he had passed away, these early efforts made the project possible. For community diversity, the standard is met. Casey treated all patients regardless of race. Per the applicant, Casey showed great concern for the health of the African-American population, first by helping to raise money for a hospital and then by tending to the victims of the epidemic. Also, Casey was an Irish immigrant. Applicant is not aware of a square named after an Irish immigrant. For the appropriateness and compatibility of the request in relation to the existing area, the standard is met. Per the applicant, the naming is appropriate given the location of an African-American cemetery at or close to the site. It certainly is possible that Casey tended to one of the deceased buried there. And for the statement of reason supporting the renaming request, the standard is met. The applicant stated that Casey contributed to the humanitarian movement to better the lives of African Americans. His fundraising efforts were part of a campaign that beneficially changed the lives of African Americans through the founding of the Georgia Infirmary. His achievement was in the field of medicine, and he was held in high esteem by the Georgia Medical Society. Renaming the square as Casey Square stands for the proposition that there were individuals living in the early 19th century who embodied Savannah's humanitarian values rather than the values of Calhoun, a South Carolina nullificationist. So staff recommendation is the same as the prior, with approval for HSMC to move forward to City Council to consider the name.
Thanks, Caitlin. Are there any questions of staff on this petition? If not, we can hear from the petitioner, if they're here, applicant. Hello, sir. Just state your name for the record.
Certainly. Good evening. My name is Andrew Jones, and I am a I'm the chairman of the Oglethorpe Plan Coalition, a new preservation group downtown, and I'm also the ninth generation of my family to live in Savannah. We, the citizens of Savannah, are relying on the good judgment of this commission to evaluate which of the proposed names best fits the criteria set forth for the renaming process. Based on the criteria, the name that best fits is Casey Square, in honor of Dr. John Aloysius Casey, who sacrificed his life to help others. The name Casey Square also honors the Casey family legacy, including the contribution of his granddaughter, Sarah Casey Morgan, a leading suffragette and Savannah's first female alderman. You have received numerous letters of support for the name Casey Square. Dr. Casey deserves recognition. Nothing is named after Dr. Casey. By contrast, Taylor has a school and an ecological institute named after her. WW Law has a community center, library, daycare center. Mary Musgrove has a plaque in the next square over. The Yamacraw are half Yamasee, half Creek. So they're a subset of the creek, and of course they have Yamacraw Square. Wesley has a ward named after him, the next ward over, and Reverend Lyle is honored by name on a plaque by the First African Baptist Church. Per the criteria, the naming request must consider community diversity. Dr. Casey's work in Savannah included helping to raise funds for what became the Georgia Infirmary, the oldest hospital for African Americans in the United States. Casey was an outsider. He was born in Maryland, studied in Georgetown and Philadelphia, and he was of an ethnic minority, being an Irish Catholic in a largely Protestant South. And advocating for an African American cause in 1817 took courage. Please consider how brave he was and how risky these acts of charity must have been. This heroism stands in extreme contrast, of course, to the views of his contemporary John Calhoun, who was born just 1 year after Dr. Casey. And also, in light of diversity, please consider that this is one of the only candidates here whose act of beneficence was for the opposite race rather than his own. The criteria require a sustained contribution over an appreciable time, and with the funds being raised as early as 1817, the Georgia Infirmary continues to this day as part of St. Joseph's Candler. Reverend Lyle is the only other nominee I'm aware of that is associated with an institution of this age. By contrast, Ms. Taylor's school started in 1866 but closed in, I believe, 1868 when the Beach Institute began. So by helping to spur the establishment of a hospital, Casey's contribution was for a longer period of time and for a larger number of persons than were the contributions of most of the other nominees.
Sir, I don't want to interrupt you, but I do see 14 pages, and I want to make sure that
I timed it to 5 minutes, having asked in advance.
That's totally fine. I just want to make sure.
And I'll skip a couple
slides. And I hate interrupting people, so I don't want to interrupt you. I have hard copies,
so since I'm going to skip a few slides, I'll hand you hard copies
By all means.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, not at all. In the first major yellow fever epidemic, Dr. Casey treated and comforted the victims, many of whom are buried east and south of Calhoun Square. He risked his life to comfort the ill. In doing so, he succumbed to the disease and died in 1819, leaving a widow and two infants. Dr. Casey has been named one of the medical martyrs of Georgia, and he's one of only two named candidates who made the ultimate sacrifice to help others. Per the criteria, the naming request must consider the historical significance of the location, and two burial grounds used for yellow fever victims are in the vicinity of Calhoun Square. The Negro burial grounds, 1818 to 1844, lie to the east of Lincoln Street, so technically in Wesley Ward, not Calhoun Ward, but close, in and around Whitfield Square. And then there was the Strangers Burial Ground, so think of it as people from out of town who had no ability to be buried in the Colonial Cemetery, or what we call that now. 1819 to 1844 lies even closer to Calhoun Square, right under Massey School. And I've had that information confirmed by the city archivist. As a doctor who treated the yellow fever victims, Dr. Casey's the only candidate with a personal connection to the people buried in these grounds. No other candidate has this degree of personal connection. So why then would we name the square for someone with no connection to the square historically, or someone who wasn't even born when these cemeteries were closed in 1844?
If you could, again, I don't mean to, we are at over five minutes now, but if you could just sort of briefly summarize the rest, and I apologize, but if everyone could please help me out, I hate to interrupt people. So just, we just want to keep it rolling.
Yeah. It's important, as the Center for Jubilee says, to honor the dead. And this is a person who actually knew them. He knew their names. They knew his. The Casey family legacy of charity continued. And this is his granddaughter, who was the first woman alderman, the first woman registered to vote in Chatham County. The legacy is extensive and benefited, you know, the 50% of the population that's African American for 200 years, and then in the 20th century benefited 50% of the population, the women. So at the end of the day, the only part of the population is the 25% that constitutes white males. So in any case, please honor Dr. Casey and his legacy of charity, humanitarianism, and progressive thinking. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it. I didn't mean to interrupt. You were at 6 minutes though. And I want to be fair to everyone here, who is coming up to speak. Please don't make me interrupt you.
And may I offer
we're more than happy to take a look at that.
I hand them over here or to Sean.
Yeah, you can give it to, or you can give it to staff there is fine.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. I should ask if anyone has a question of the petitioner. Okay, so and I should note again, Lisa, Vice Chair, and I did count both 16 letters submitted to the city in support of this application. And if there are any individuals here in person to speak on this petition, please raise your hand. If you're online and you want to speak on this petition, use the raise your hand feature online. And we will accommodate you. And I'm not seeing anyone here. Is there anyone online? And thank you for that.
Excuse me. Yeah. Oh, someone is raising their hand.
Yes.
And on and off. There's Jennifer Craig.
So, Jenny, are you there? Are you here to speak on the Casey Square? Go ahead. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Thank you very much for clicking off my mute button. I really appreciate it. My name is Jennifer Craig. I'm a Savannah resident. I've got to say that I commend your presentation. I also think that the city would not rise to its fullest potential if it named the unnamed square after this individual, irregardless of the goodness that you're voicing. When I, as primarily a European American woman myself, when I hear this person did X, Y, and Z to benefit the lives of African Americans, my heart goes out to you at the same time as I start to shake. You know, because advocating for an African American cause, or in other words, for an American one, it took the most courage for African Americans themselves, who performed many beneficent, brave, altruistic, noble, sacrificial acts for their and other communities. And as a Caucasian woman, what I heard does not sit right with me. And I believe that if Mr. Casey were here, he might be inclined to take a step to the right and then a step back. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else here to speak on this? Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon, Renetta Lanier. I was really trying so hard not to say anything, just to sit and observe. But this is, I would like to use this as a teachable moment, because words mean something. That's why we use them. That's why we have a language. And when I heard opposite race, I just cringed. What in the world is an opposite race? That's just ridiculous.
I concur 100%. And I wasn't going to say anything, but thank you, ma'am. There is one race, and it's the human race. We have divided ourselves into separate races.
Thank you
for that comment, though, and I do appreciate that. I took issue with that as well. With all due respect to the speaker, opposite race is not didn't set well with myself either. Thank you. Do we have any other comments on this petition? If not, we will move on to Number, where are we? Number six, the petition of Tony Carter for the square naming Center Square. And then we'll hear from staff, and then we'll hear from the petitioner.
This is Caitlin Chamberlain again presenting the application for Tony Center Square proposal. The applicant's requesting approval to name the currently unnamed public square at the intersection of Abercorn and Wayne Streets to the name Center Square in honor of Leo Center, a lifelong Savannian who served five consecutive terms as an alderman for the city of Savannah from 1970 till he retired in 1990. Per the applicant, during his tenure, Leo served as vice chair of council and mayor pro tem. It was during Leo Center's tenure that the first African-American and the first female served as alderman. Leo was prominent in pushing for both those changes. In his last three terms, Leo served on councils with three eventual mayors, John Rusakis, Floyd Adams, and Otis Johnson. Additionally, Center founded the local chapter of the American Israel Public Affairs Committee and took local leaders, including Pastor Matthew Southall Brown and Congressman Lindsey Thomas, to Israel. Center fought for political and civil rights for all Savannians, particularly African Americans. For community diversity, the standard is met. The applicant noted that currently Savannah's Jewish community is not represented with a name commemoration of a public space, and naming the square after Center would bring some representation and diversity. Per the applicant, now is the perfect time to recognize the contributions made by Savannah's Jewish community and one of its more popular leaders by naming the square located at Abercorn and Gordon Streets to the Leo Center Square. The applicant's statement of reasons supporting the renaming request says, after living 94 years and 19 days in his beloved home city, Leo died in September 2012. Leo participated in and demonstrated leadership in government, cultural and historical affairs, humanitarian efforts, and community development, and made significant commercial, civic, and political contributions over quite an appreciable time, including nearly 23 years in public office. Leo exerted efforts of benefit and significance on the local level, the state level, and on the national level through the League of City Convention connections and on the board of his commercial industry. Every aspect of Leo's commercial and public life has reflected positively on Savannah. Leo was honored with a signed menu on the wall of Johnny Harris Restaurant, and almost all Savannians have seen and commented on his photo on the wall of Crystal Beer Parlor at the corner of Jefferson and Jones Streets. And with that, staff recommends that the Historic Site Monument Commission recommend approval to Savannah City Council for consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Caitlin. As I said, with all these applications, they're it's a real historical education. This was a particularly interesting one because I didn't know anything about this individual, and I was happy to learn about him. Any questions of staff? Not. We can hear from the petitioner. The petitioner is here.
Thank you. I am Tony Center. I'm the son of Leo Center.
Good to see you.
You know, I have served on commissions before, and I thank you all for your time. And Chairman Murrell, I agree with you. I've read through all of these, and there's some interesting histories, stuff that I didn't know either. And I feel almost like when they talk about the bees, these honeybees have been here 400 years, but since they weren't born in Savannah, they're not Savannians. You know, and as a Savannian, I didn't know all these stories, but I'm not here to compete with anybody else. I've known Ms. Gunn, and I think she started this whole procedure several years ago on her own that got to this point now, and I commend her on that. And Alderman Miller Blakely sits in the seat that my dad held. So there's a lot of connections, and I'm not competing. Everybody is deserving. And maybe if you don't get the square, you find somewhere in the city. But if you want to speak about passion, I can speak about my dad. What I didn't put in here was every Sunday was beat up daddy day, and we got to wrestle with my dad. But an individual who grew up in a one-parent family, his dad, a city policeman, died when he was only 5 years old, dirt poor, he loved this city with a passion that I've never seen with anyone else. He was here his whole life. He built a business. He built a family. He contributed to the community. He worked part of the Chamber of Commerce. He was part of the city council. He was part of individual cultural events in the Jewish community. And except for the 4 years when the Navy took him away for World War II, he loved the city. He came back to the city. It would have been better for his business. Everybody told him, move to Atlanta where your business will thrive. Well, he built it here. He was asked by city council many times to go around, as the representatives can tell you, and speak on behalf of the city. I remember one time when Walter Mondale came to visit, and because Republicans were growing in power then, nobody wanted to go out. So Dad went out to the airport to give Walter Mondale the key to the city. He stood up when he had to, was right. And I can tell you over and over, I believe the way I believe, my brother believes the way he believes, not just my father, my mother, that there is one race. And race relations haven't gotten, we still haven't figured out how to handle them. We don't go to each other's houses for dinner like we should. We don't go out to eat dinner. But we have to learn to live together. And my father taught me that. He stood up for the underdog. And there's a lot of good petitions, and they're much better than mine. I did the graphics in here. You can tell how e-challenged I am. But I had the pictures that I loved. And I'm here to answer any questions. They're all great nominees. They're all deserving of something. But my dad served the city. He didn't want to run for office. He's the only one in my family, my brother, my mother, and I, who didn't seek political office. But the community came to him. At that time, the mayor would put together a team, and they asked him to run. And he won. He used to remind me all the time, Tony, I won 5 elections. And he and Frank Ross would go back and forth on who get the most popular votes. I think I got just about 2 more votes than you did. But anyway, I'm here to answer any questions. I thank you for your time. I served on one
of
Eileen's.
Thank you, sir. I would say that the photos added character to the to the application. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It seemed like a remarkable human being.
But I appreciate your time, and I appreciate council. I mean, that staff recommended these all go into city council. You know, they have to wrestle with it.
Mm-hmm.
I like removing the name Calhoun from the square. We live right down the street from it, and my wife is here, and my dog loves the square.
Any questions of the
Any
petitioner?
Questions you have, let Sean. Me answer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. Tony, I just want to comment. One, I don't think I did your speech and passion justice at the Park and Tree Commission when I had to
I'm sorry
read
I had
it.
To miss
so
that.
I just wanted to point that out. But I do enjoy your passion, way more passionate than mine when I would just try to keep completely unbiased and not show any emotion at all. So thank you.
Thank you very much. If there are any questions, I'll be glad to answer them. And
any questions of the petition?
I may not be able to stay for all the petitions. I want to apologize in advance for those of you who come after me.
Thank you, sir. And I concur. I think all of these applications, there's merit to all of them. And any of the names that aren't on the square, they're surely worthy of some other honor in some way. So I agree with that, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And I think, for Center Square, we had, the letters. I'm trying to see. I don't know if we had any letters from the, it doesn't look like we had any letters.
I didn't go out and campaign and ask people to do it. And, I commend those who have, but
I'm sure it has support. I'm sure it has support, but thank you, sir. I appreciate it. And thank you for your service.
Thank you.
If there's anyone, so if there's no other question of the petitioner, we can move to the public comment period. If there's anyone here to speak on this petition in person, just raise your hand. If you're online, use the raise your hand feature. We'll wait a couple of seconds. If there's no one here in person, we can move along. If there's no one here online.
No, sir. No.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, sir. And so we'll move along to item number 7, which is the petition of Martha Kieber for the square naming of Abbott Square. And we'll hear from staff.
The applicant is requesting approval to name the currently unnamed public square at the intersection of Abercorn Street and Wayne Street to the name Abbott Square in honor of Robert Abbott, an African-American journalist initially from Savannah, who founded the African-American newspaper The Defender. Just a note on names assigned to existing public property within the city or county. The applicant noted that there is an Abbott Street in West Savannah, and also a historical marker for the Robert Abbott Boyhood Home near the corner of Albion and Bay Streets. Duplication of the name on a street in a square in different parts of Savannah would not be likely to lead to confusion. For community diversity, Abbott was born in 1868 to parents who were formerly enslaved, and during the Jim Crow era, he became a journalist and publisher, ultimately starting the Defender, an influential black newspaper based in Chicago. For the applicant, renaming the square in honor of Robert Abbott would be a bold act for community diversity, as no square in the historic district as yet bears the name of a black person. For appropriateness of the area, before he achieved national renown with a Defender, Abbott followed in the footsteps of his stepfather, who operated a school in Savannah on Farm Street and became an educator himself. When his stepfather became ill and died, Abbott continued the school, and it appears he stayed involved over the years. The applicant stated, for decades, the school at the corner of Roberts and Bay Streets welcomed black children from Woodville and nearby neighborhoods. Among the alumni of the academy is former Chatham County Commissioner Priscilla Thomas, who at the age of 6 years old met Robert Abbott in one of his visits to the academy. The applicant further provided more biographical information supporting the renaming request, saying, in the words of Langston Hughes, the Defender became the voice of the voiceless. It was always Abbott's intent to defend the black race from social, political, and economic injustice. Abbott focused national attention on Jim Crow laws passed by southern states that marginalized African-American citizens' rights. Abbott articulated the aspirations, fears, and grievances of black citizens more clearly and effectively than any other newspaper. And staff recommends that the Historic Site and Monument Commission recommend approval to Savannah City Council for consideration of the name Abbott Square. Thank you.
Thank you, Caitlin. Any questions of staff on this petition? There are no questions of staff. Then we can hear from the petitioner. The petitioner is here. Would you state your name for the record?
Good afternoon. My name is Martha Kieber, and I'm here in support for Robert Abbott. Robert Abbott grew up in Woodville, a small black community on the west side of Savannah. Abbott was fortunate to have a loving stepfather to help give his life direction, Reverend John H. Sinstack, minister, teacher, and part-time newspaper publisher, taught Robert to recognize racial injustice and encouraged Robert to pursue a career in journalism. In 1905, Abbott founded the Chicago Defender, the most influential black newspaper in the United States from World War I to the 1970s. He used the Defender as a way to fight injustice, whether found in the courts or the lynch mob. Abbott engaged his readers with screaming red headlines and graphic eyewitness accounts, and he offered solutions. In 1916, with World War I in progress, Abbott urged Southern blacks to leave the sharecropping, the miserable wages, the Jim Crow discrimination in the South, and come north, where factories supporting the war effort desperately needed workers. This strategy would deny the South the labor that had been taken for granted for too long. By 1918, 1.3 million Southern blacks traveled north. Abbott called the Great Northern Migration, quote, a second emancipation. The impact of the migration on the Savannah area was clear in the summer of 1916, when 2,500 black men boarded so-called labor trains bound for jobs in Pennsylvania. In the September 2nd edition of the Defender, a photograph shows hundreds of black men and women dressed in their Sunday best, gathering by the railroad tracks outside of Savannah, waiting for yet another labor train. Above the photograph was the headline, "The Exodus." Keep in mind, it was illegal in the state of Georgia to possess a copy of the Defender, but smuggled newspapers found their way to black churches and barbershops. Robert Abbott took to heart his stepfather's strong belief that a newspaper was the most important weapon for an oppressed people. The success of the Chicago Defender in fighting for Black rights made Abbott a nationally known leader until his death in 1940. It was the formative years in Savannah that made him a crusader for justice. Renaming the square for Robert Abbott would honor a man with roots in Savannah who worked to lift racial barriers throughout the United States. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kieber. I don't want to keep repeating myself, but this is another one of those. I'm familiar with the Chicago Defender, but I did not know that the individual was born here. So that this was an education for me as well. Do we have any questions of the petitioner for this? Not. Thank you for your research as well. It's much appreciated. If there are no questions of the petitioner, we can entertain. I should say we didn't have any. We didn't count any letters from the city packet for this one. But if there's anyone in person here to make a comment on this petition, please raise your hand. If you're online, you can use the raise your hand feature. Thank you, ma'am. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
If there's no one online and there's no one here, we can move on to the next petition. Number eight is the petition of John Turnstrom. I hope I'm saying your name right. Square naming of Carpenter Square. And we'll hear from staff.
All right. The applicant is requesting approval to name the currently unnamed public square at the intersection of Abercorn and Wayne Streets to the name Carpenter Square in honor of Major Clayton O. Carpenter, who died January 15, 2014, when his MH-60M Black Hawk helicopter crashed at Hunter Army Airfield, Georgia, following a night training mission. For community diversity, the standard is met with the theme of the military community. Major Carpenter was a West Point graduate and was a recipient of several awards and decorations. With the appropriateness and compatibility of the location, the applicant stated, as the Hunter Army Airfield and military community play a significant role in the Savannah area, it's only fitting that Major Clayton Carpenter, someone we collectively agree represents the best of us, should be properly memorialized so that even in death, he can continue to lead by example and be an inspiration to all. The applicant details Carpenter's many military achievements that benefited Savannah and the United States, and that his ultimate sacrifice saved the lives of his crew when, as the applicant said, a tail rotor failure caused Clayton and his crew to enter a rapid, unrecoverable spin. In his final moments, Major Carpenter strained against immense centrifugal force to cut engine power, ultimately laying his life down while saving his crew. For the further reasons supporting the request, the applicant provided details about the many achievements of Carpenter. In addition, the applicant also stated, "I'm one of the many who was fortunate enough to have known Major Carpenter, and one of the few to have been on board that fateful night when he made the ultimate sacrifice. I cannot begin to comprehend the amount of bravery and care that such decisive action must have taken, but I am left eternally humbled and grateful for it." So with that, staff recommends that the Historic Site and Monument Commission recommend approval to Savannah City Council for consideration of the name Carpenter Square. Thank you, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Caitlin. Is there any questions of staff of this petition? If not, we can hear from the petitioner. Is the petitioner here? I hope I said your name right.
Chairman, members of the board, good afternoon. So my name is Josh Scott. Okay. Mr. John Turnstrom is here, located here.
So I got it right. That's good.
But you did get it right. Thank you. So my name is Josh Scott. I'm a retired Army aviator and 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment Airborne Night Stalker. I'm here to speak on behalf of my friend, Clayton Carpenter, Major Clayton O. Carpenter, who died in January 2014 when his helicopter crashed at Hunter Army Airfield. But first, I'd like to read a little bit of the Night Stalker Creed because it speaks to his dedication, to the dedication that Clay possessed. Service in the 160th is a calling only a few will answer, for the mission is constantly demanding and hard. And when the impossible has been accomplished, the only reward is another mission that no one else will try. As a member of the Night Stalkers, I am a tested volunteer seeking only to safeguard the honor and prestige of my country by serving the elite special operations soldiers of the United States. The mission and my precious cargo are my concern. I will never surrender. I will never leave a fallen comrade to fall into the hands of the enemy, and under no circumstances will I ever embarrass my country. Gallantly will I show the world and the elite forces that I support that a Night Stalker is a specially selected and well-trained soldier. I serve with the memory and pride of those who have gone before me, for they love to fight, fought to win, and would rather die than quit. Night Stalkers don't quit. Clay not only recited that creed countless times, but he lived by the virtue of it. He embodied every line, and until the day that he died, he represented his country, his unit, the Army, his family, and the city of Savannah in an impeccable manner. At the last meeting, one of the commissioners made a comment that Clay's name should not move forward as a viable candidate because he can be memorialized elsewhere, at Hunter Army Airfield or at a veterans memorial someplace. I found that comment disingenuous. And frankly, there are far too few federal buildings to fit all of the names who paid the ultimate sacrifice. The bottom line is this, that any of the individuals that are presented here today are more than worthy of recognition by the city of Savannah. Many represent historically marginalized groups, and others represent a dark time in our nation's history. But to be completely honest, I believe that in such a divided time, this city must make the right choice. Clay represents the best in all of us and is a modern example of how far this country has come instead of focusing on the sins of the past. Far too often, the military members of Fort Stewart and Hunter Army Airfield are considered to be transient residents. But I'm here to tell you that's not the case. We are members of this community, often homeowners, and sometimes successful business owners, like Mr. Tyler Merritt, who was here earlier, the owner of Nine Line, who was a friend of Clay's. We are a part of this community, even though we quietly remain in the background, waiting for the nation's call. Clay was a part of this community. He was a Savannian, and he deserves to be recognized. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your service. And I was actually at that meeting of the Park and Tree, and I remember that comment, and your point is well taken on that. Again, another that, I would also add this comment that all of these applications are being entered into the public, public record. So that in itself I see as an honor. That's a legitimate point to make as well. Does anyone have questions of the petitioner? And thank you again for this story. Reading the story was, again, it was enlightening. Sean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. Honestly, Mr. Scott, I thought it was going to be Mr. Turnstrom presenting this time. But, hey, keeping it the same, right? No issue at all. Your name's way easier to say than John's. No offense. I just want to say, that comment that was made at the Park and Tree Commission meeting definitely upset me. As stated at a previous petitioner, I believe it was Mr. Center, I made no recognition. I make it a point to remain completely unbiased and let whomever say whatever they want to. I have a lot of different thoughts on that particular comment, but I think that a square is a great way to honor him. Me personally, I think something open to the public, not necessarily Hunter Army Airfield, is a good way to honor him. But I believe you said at the Park and Tree Commission there is a memorial already at Hunter. Don't quote me on that one. Sorry.
There is not, no.
Okay. Again,
it is on our own memorial at our battalion.
That's what it was.
And it's
okay,
just a name.
Yeah. So I think it's a great honor to be able to put all of the effort. And one thing I also noted was there were a lot more letters of support that were generated for Major Carpenter's name following the Park and Tree Commission. So I hope that that comment really, to borrow a term from one of my favorite movies, that Vietnam movie that I can't, Full Metal Jacket, paraphrasing, but basically kicked everybody into gear to really put it. So I greatly appreciate the focus that everybody had taken to put that into a focus and to put it together. So good job. I think it's a good name. I think it's a good suggestion as well.
Thank you, sir.
And everyone is entitled to their opinion. This individual is not here today to – they're certainly entitled to their opinion. But anyway, any other questions of the petitioner. And to Sean's point, he was right. We did see a number of letters of support come in. I counted 21. Lisa counted 22. So we have a one discrepancy. But clearly there's support there for that as well.
Okay, thanks,
thank you, sir. Sean?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just as a number increase, there were five for the written for the Park and Tree Commission. So it went from over 20.
16,
went
17.
From five to, yeah, thank you for doing the math.
Thank you. No other questions of the petitioner. We can move to the public comment period. If there's anyone here in person to comment on this petition, just raise your hand. If you're online, use the raise your hand feature. And yes, sir, come on, go ahead and come up and just state your name for the record. And if there's anyone online, just use the raise your hand feature and we'll get to the online after in person.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, my name is John Turnstrom. Mr. Scott was generous enough to represent. I didn't know if I was going to be able to make it back. I flew back and made in time for this meeting, and he's a much more eloquent speaker than myself. But I do just want to make a couple of comments here. I want to say, obviously, I support the Major Carpenter Square nomination, and I would first like to acknowledge that there are many amazing nominees nominated, represented here tonight. And everyone should celebrate the accomplishments of these great Americans. I don't want to take anything away from any of them. But I just want to talk. So what sets Major Carpenter apart? Major Carpenter is from this century, which makes him relatable to today's residents of Savannah. Savannah has a lot of rich history, but it's time to recognize a new hero, someone whose accomplishments are not from decades ago or already memorialized elsewhere. I acknowledge that there are people who feel that a soldier who dies while serving their country is simply doing their job and should not be recognized. I know that there are people who don't think that soldiers are really a part of this community. While I do not agree with that, they are allowed to have this opinion because of the soldiers like Major Carpenter who have died to guarantee their freedoms. This isn't about erasing the past or changing things to favor one group over another. This is about collectively moving forward, creating a new history together, and dedicating a square to someone that we can agree represents the best in all of us. Major Carpenter was an amazing military leader, a decorated veteran who served this country during multiple combat tours. He loved Savannah. He was a valued member of this community, and this was his home. He fought for the rights of all Americans. Major Carpenter died serving this country in the city of Savannah, and memorializing him here is the right thing to do. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for coming. Is there anyone here else in person to speak on this petition? Is there anyone online to speak?
No, sir.
Okay. We will move along. Thank you all, and thank you all for your service as well. Appreciate it. We'll move on to the petition of Leroy Pace. For the square renaming of Lyle Square. I looked up this pronunciation and I saw many different pronunciations, so I hope it's Lyle.
Lyle's, yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me get that up. The applicant is requesting approval to name the currently unnamed public square at the intersection of Abercorn and Wayne Streets to the name Lyle Square, in honor of preacher George Lyle, a formerly enslaved African-American preacher who constituted the first colored Baptist church in Savannah in 1777. He later became the first missionary of the United States of America. With regard to community diversity, the standard is met. George Lyle was instrumental as a Baptist pioneer in Savannah and the United States. First African Baptist Church was home to one of the oldest African congregations in America and was founded by Lyles. With regard to the appropriateness and compatibility with the location, the standard is met. Both the First African Baptist Church and the Second African Baptist Church are in downtown Savannah in close proximity to the public square, deeming the proposed Lyles Square an appropriate and compatible name. The applicant provided a statement of reasons supporting the renaming request, stating that George Lyles in 1773 preached up and down the Savannah River before constituting the first colored Baptist church in 1777. He was freed just before the American Revolutionary War and would later make his way to Jamaica and become the first missionary of the United States of America. First African Baptist Church is a successful tourist stop 5 days a week to tourists visiting Savannah. The historic First African Baptist Church employs docents that convey the influence he has on as a contributor to the history of Savannah. Each time a tour occurs, he was an important contributor to Savannah history. During his lifetime, he went from slave to international missionary. And with that, staff recommends that the Historic Site and Monument Commission recommend approval to the Savannah City Council for consideration of the name Lyles Square. Thank you, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Caitlin. Any questions of staff on this petition? There's no questions of staff. We can hear from the petitioner. The petitioner is here.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Commissioner and Chairman. My name is Leroy Page, Jr. I'm a native Savannian. When I first heard the announcement of renaming Calhoun Square, I jumped at the opportunity to replace the slave owner and a defender of slavery to rename by a slave and a man of Christ. I chose the name of Pastor George Lyles, born in 1750, and lived much of his life as a slave in Savannah. Of all of the squares in the city of Savannah, not one is named in honor of an African-American male or female for their contribution to the city. For this to be a diversified city, or is it in name only? George Lyles was the first Black Baptist in Georgia and the first Black Baptist church in America, resulted from his evangelist. First African Baptist was home to one of the oldest African congregation in America. The congregation was founded by enslaved preacher George Lyles in 1773. Slaves and Blacks worked day and night, save whatever little fund that they had available to construct a church. When the construction was completed in 1859, the building became the first brick building owned by African Americans in the state of Georgia. George Lyles began his life as a slave, but he lived as a free man in Christ. He was a historical significant for the city of Savannah, the state of Georgia, and North America. The church is still in existence now. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Do we have any questions of the petitioner? Again, a obviously very worthy name as well. This is an excruciating process because these are all really very compelling stories, each and every one of them. Any questions of the petitioner? If there are no questions of the petitioner, we can move to the public comment period. Thank you, sir. We appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
If there's anyone here to comment on this petition in person, just raise your hand. If you're online, use the raise your hand feature and we'll get to you after the in-person. If there's no one here in person to comment, is there anyone online?
No, sir.
Doesn't look so. Thank you. Then we'll move on to item 10 on the agenda, which is the petition of Albert Ochten. At the square naming of Law Square. I hope I didn't botch that name either. We'll hear from staff.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Caitlin Chamberlain again presenting the application for the naming of the unnamed square to Law Square in honor of W.W. Law, whom the applicant states was arguably the most influential Savannian of the 20th century. Not only did he lead what has been praised as the singularly peaceful desegregation of Savannah's public facilities and private businesses, he became involved in historic preservation efforts designed to preserve African American history and prevent displacement of low-income families. His efforts combined the two most historically significant developments of the 20th century in Savannah, the civil rights and historic preservation movements. Together, these reforms set the stage for an economic renaissance grounded in the explosive growth of tourism, filmmaking, and most recently, the attraction of new and diverse industries to the city and immediate region. With regard to community diversity, the standard is met. The applicant states that the naming of the square for law is appropriate and compatible not only because of the history of African-American Savannians in the immediate neighborhood, but also because of Mr. Law's community-wide influence. The applicant's supporting statement says that Law's efforts significantly benefited local, state, and national affairs. He pressed for better education facilities and fair treatment by the criminal justice system on the local, state, and national level, frequently joining lawsuits to force the issues he confronted. He led efforts in cultural and historical affairs, leading the way to the establishment of a civil rights museum, among other institutions that have enriched Savannah's cultural profile, and attracted local visitors and out-of-town tourists by the thousands. His humanitarian efforts involved pressing for better health care access for underserved communities, as well as private assistance to individuals who turned to him for help. Correspondence in his extensive papers archived at City Hall shows these efforts stretched from the 1940s until his death. His lifelong activism changed the nature of Savannah, perhaps most dramatically. The opposition and criticism that he experienced during his early career transformed in the 1970s, after which he was showered with honors for his work. He also received citations from national organizations, the NAACP being only one of them, reflecting positively on Savannah. So with that, staff recommends the Historic Site Monument Commission recommends approval to the Savannah City Council for considering the name Law Square. Thank you.
Thank you, Caitlin. And I apologize for the previous petition for Lyle Square. We didn't count any letters in the city packet. I just wanted to say that for the record. Thank you, Caitlin. Any questions of staff for this petition? If not, then we can hear from the petitioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commission, thank you for coming as close as anyone ever has to pronouncing my name correctly.
But I didn't get it.
On the first try, it's Achen.
Okay. My apologies.
No, it's... WW Law was iconic, and you've heard the summary of what I had written. You all have read, and we all appreciate the diligence that you've given to this process. I'd like to reflect what Tony Center said, and this does not feel like a competition. It feels like a very, and I would commend you, civil process, which is not all that common in the American government these days. So thank you for that. I want to try to humanize Mr. Law a little bit and explain to you how I knew him. I was a reporter for the Morning News and Evening Press from 96 to 2000. Almost every day, he would show up in the newsroom. He'd climb the stairs up to the second floor, come into the newsroom, and he would pick up a newspaper. The Evening Press would be there, the first edition of the Evening Press. And then he would make himself available to us to learn about what he was doing. And he had quite a number of activities that he was engaging in at all times. I left Savannah to go to work in various newspapers and landed at NBC News in Washington, in New York rather, in the 90s. And in 1996, we had a feature at Nightly News, which was designed to honor Americans who were of local accomplishment that really didn't get a lot of attention. We featured Mr. Law, and I spoke with him at that time, came down to Savannah, and from that point on until his death, I spent probably 4 or 5 days once a year with him, traveling around Savannah, interviewing him, getting to know him, with the intention of writing a biography, which I am hoping to finish soon after having spent the last several months going through the archives in the city of Savannah, which have extensive correspondence, as I said in my proposal, that have given me a different window on him. A more human window on the man who was so politically and socially supercharged when I knew him back in the 70s and 80s. He was a remarkable individual. The turnaround that I've described in my proposal is unique in my experience. He went from being vilified in the 50s to being honored in the 80s and 90s. And this is a man who, in the 50s, people were throwing bricks through the windows of his home, burning crosses in his yard, and threatening the life of his beloved mother. From that, he became an iconic Savannah citizen, respected by everyone in the city. There are two letters that I want to read to you to wrap this up that I found in the archives, two of literally hundreds and hundreds of letters that he preserved. One is a quick note from a friend of his named Bill Stubblefield. And this is an illustration of Mr. Law's wisdom. Stubblefield had referred a young woman named Kim Fields to Mr. Law because Mr. Law spent time mentoring youngsters. And he writes to him, "Mr. Law, Kim Fields, the young lady I mentor that you had lunch with and instructed to try something he had never eaten, gave me this card for you." To me, that's a window into W.W. Law. He sits down with a 20-year-old woman and he says, "What are you going to order?" And she says, "I'll have the barbecue." He says, "You ever had barbecue before?" She says, "Yes." He says, "You're not going to have barbecue. You're going to try something new." This is what he did with people. This is the way he conducted his real public work. It was much more one-on-one than it was the kinds of things that the newspapers and the television stations emphasized. She wrote him a note. She says, "I was thinking of you, and I hope you're feeling better. I will continue to keep you in my prayers." And they stayed in correspondence until he died. The other letter shows you another side of Mr. Law, who's quite stubborn and hard-headed, as people who sat on this commission before you may have learned. This is from a woman named Annette, and it's written in 1993, and it says, "Dear Mr. Law, your support, counsel, and encouragement meant so very much to me during the past 2 years. Thank you for all that you did. I will reflect upon this experience as the richest of my career. I tried hard, worked hard, worried hard, and continue to hope hard. I made some mistakes, but overall the regrets are few. I was aware of the awesome responsibilities I'd have, and so I'm not surprised by the strain I now admit to feeling. A little rest and I'll resume in September in the department. Being able to count on you, assured, honest feedback at all times, you know how rare of a commodity that is." I know how rare of a commodity it was, because when I was asking the wrong questions, he'd let me know. When panels just like this were doing the wrong thing, he would let them know. This is a man who affected the history of the 20th century in Savannah more profoundly than any other single individual. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. You hit the 5 minutes right on. And I just want to say this, because I'm a writer and journalist myself. When I saw you speak at the Park and Tree Commission, I was like, that's a newspaper guy right there. I knew it.
I'll take that as a compliment. Thank you.
Absolutely. I look forward to reading the book.
Thank you.
Any questions of the petitioner, Sean?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. Since you mentioned the Park and Tree Commission, and since the petitioner mentioned that Christopher said it has come closest to pronouncing Mr. Otkin's name correctly, that's because he learned it how to say it wrong from me, so thank you.
Credit where credit's due. Any other questions of the petitioner? Thank you, sir, and thank you for your research. It's definitely appreciated. If there are any individuals here to speak of public comment period for this petition, just let us know, raise your hand. If there's anyone online, use the raise your hand feature. And pardon? Yes, thank you. We had 7 letters of support from the city packet for W.W. Law. And he's definitely a persona that looms large in Savannah, so I'm very interested in the research as well. Catherine?
Mr. Chairman, this is Catherine. Do you think we could take a 1-minute stretch break?
Okay. It seems like we need a bathroom break. Let's finish with the public comment, and if it if it's okay with everyone.
I thought we were finished with
that. No, not a problem. It seems like the consensus is we might need a bathroom break. So give me just a minute and let's make sure that there are no public comments for this petition. And it doesn't look like there are any. Okay, so we will take a let's split the difference and say 3 minutes and not belabor this too much. So we'll take a three minute break.
Do you know if I put this microphone up at all? That's better. If I put this microphone up, will it affect it at all? I was just going to put it on the desk. Okay, cool.
We're actually a little bit over time. I think that was a little bit more than 4 minutes. If everyone could make their way to their seats. Eileen, where are you going? Where are you going? Oh, oh. She's like... Okay. Oh. Okay. Yeah, wasn't sure. Yeah, that's fine. Okay, thank you all. I hope everyone had a nice stretch. We are halfway through. Are we on number 11?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to call this meeting to order again. We are now at the number 11, our petition by Sandy Everett for the square renaming of Seven Sisters Square. I should say, Commissioner, Nick had to step out. So he won't be part of the rest of the meeting, but we still have a quorum. So we're going to go ahead and continue with the meeting. And we'll hear from staff now.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Before I start with my presentation, I would just like to pass out something that the applicant had given for the board to take a look at. There's handouts to keep and a book to pass around.
Thank you. While she's doing that, I will say the petitioner for the Lyle petition did give me four letters of support, so I didn't want to say that for the record. I've given those letters to staff, and so they're going to enter that into the public record. Yep. So thank you, sir, for that. Go ahead, Kim.
All right. The applicant is requesting approval to name the currently unnamed public square at the intersection of Abercorn and Wayne Streets to the name Seven Sisters Square to honor the seven ladies who organized the historic preservation movement in the 1950s after the demolition of the City Market building on Ellis Square. The names of the women are Anna Colquitt Hunter, Catherine Judkins Clark, Eleanor Adler Dillard, Lucy Barrow McIntyre, Dorothy Ripley Roebling, Nola McAvoy Ruse, and Jane Adair Wright, and I do apologize if I mispronounced any of these names. For community diversity, the standard is met, as naming a square after seven women would bring diversity to the list of square names where women are an underrepresented group. As the applicant stated, after the historic City Market building in Ellis Square was demolished in 1955, these seven ladies joined together to organize the Historic Savannah Foundation and save the 1820s Isaiah Davenport House on Columbia Square, which was slated to be torn down to create a parking lot. This act was the first of many more to follow in regard to preserving other historic resources in the city, where even to the present day, Historic Savannah Foundation continues this mission. The applicant furthered their statement of reasons, saying several of the ladies continued their work with other Historic Savannah Foundation members to raise awareness and interest in preserving the downtown area, creating the treasure that Savannah has become today. House by house, block by block, square by square, individual families and businesses began saving our historic structures and features. The Davenport House is now ranked among the great Georgian architectural houses in America. The staff recommends that the Historic Site Monument Commission recommend approval to the Savannah City Council for consideration of the name Seven Sisters Square. Thank you, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Caitlin. Does anyone have any questions of staff on this petition? If not, we can move to the petitioner, if the petitioner is here. Would you just state your name for the record?
My name is Sandy Keck Everett. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk to you. And I was told the other one, we had 2 minutes to talk, and my husband says, you won't even be able to clear your throat in that time.
I've said 2 to 5 minutes for the petitioners, 2 minutes for public comment. So,
but I'm going to read fast.
I don't want to interrupt you, though. So.
Okay. The one thing I want you to remember about these seven ladies, they worked together. They dramatically impacted the direction that Savannah was going in the 1950s. Up until then, World War I, World War II, Great Depression, flu epidemic, there was a lot of neglect in the beautiful homes. They weren't beautiful anymore. And they were being torn down randomly. You know, there would be another one gone and another one gone. I've got a list of about 20 or 30. Millsby Lane has a book. And I do have a picture of one that was torn down that was this home, and it has these beautiful medallions on the fence, the balcony of the
come in front here, and then we can all see it here. There you go.
But
thank you.
We were trying to figure out what to.
You don't have to stand there the whole time.
How do we connect these ladies? And I thought we're all brothers and sisters here in Savannah. We live in this beautiful city. We share this beautiful city. We love each other. We came up with a connection for these seven ladies who were not blood related sisters, but they became sisters in their passion for saving the beauty of Savannah. When they were here, the definition of progress in the 1950s and throughout the country often meant replacing neglected homes and buildings with modern glass and square buildings. And we still have a lot of those, and they're still being built. But they knew Savannah had been beautiful, and they thought it should remain beautiful, and they were going to have to fight to do it. They were the right after the Wetter home was destroyed and torn down and the fence saved, fortunately, Ellis Square had the beautiful City Market in the center. New Orleans still has their French Market down in the French Quarter of New Orleans. And Ellis, this, how we could have reached such a low as to just tear down this beautiful market building, but we had reached a low in the 1950s with saving the beauty of Savannah. So with these ladies, they became sisters in the spirit of saving Savannah's beauty, and their actions dramatically impacted Savannah's direction. They just said all along, well, somebody should do something about this. Somebody should do something. They said, no, enough's enough. We're going to be the somebodies who do something. They saved the Davenport House. It was going to be another parking lot. It's on Columbia Square, beautiful building today. It didn't, wasn't pretty then. They bought they had $22,500 to buy the house, raised it. They had to go around and beg, borrow, and they raised the money. And then they had to raise funds. They started to start Savannah Foundation. And with that funds, those funds, they restored the his Davenport House. Then they went on to keep raising funds to save other buildings. If they could get to them before they were destroyed, they'd get a phone call in the middle of the night. The wrecking crane is behind such and such a house. What can you do? Well, it was often too late. So we were still losing houses. But they dramatically impacted Savannah's direction, and there was more people were in favor of the save and restore. The restoration movement had begun. And the way I look at it, it was house by house, row house by house, row house by row house, block by block. It wasn't just all at once, which is the way you can save something. Sometimes you're so overwhelmed by something, but if you just start and move. But to me, Oglethorpe's beautiful city plan, which was so brilliant, which makes Savannah stand out above just any other city in the United States or throughout the world. But I think because of their actions, this beautiful, brilliant city plan is now the beauty that he envisioned with our beautiful homes and buildings. I'm going to end it with now. Look and enjoy and live in and walk around Savannah, both visitors and locals alike. And let's give thanks and admiration to these ladies and let their names be known. People don't know them. There's no public recognition anywhere for them. With their hard work and dedication to the beauty of Savannah, they became sisters in the spirit of saving Savannah's beauty. Let's all join them in this spirit. Let the people who love our city keep these ladies' names and their work alive by dedicating the square to them. We owe them this appreciation and recognition of keeping Savannah beautiful. Together, let's continue their work and continue what they started. They started this. They started this restoration in the 1950s, and I'm grateful.
Thank you for letting me talk. Thank you for that.
I did it in my time limit.
You got it. You were about five seconds over five. You did it. Thank you for that. And again, another education, because I'd heard of the Seven Sisters, but I didn't know their names and that sort of thing. So that was educational. I should mention, there was a discrepancy in the count. We had 7 to 8 letters of support in that from the city. So we'll just go with 8. We'll go with a higher number. Does any of the commissioners have any questions of the petitioner? Thank you, ma'am, for that. And thank you for the visual aid too. That was helpful. If there's anyone here, to comment publicly, for this petition, go ahead and just say your name. And if you're online, to make any comment, use the raise your hand feature and we'll get to the online after in person.
Good afternoon. My name is Catherine Barnado. I'm a lifelong Savannian, and I'm here to talk about the Seven Ladies. They were extraordinary and remarkable in what they did in saving the Davenport House, because there really was no concentrated effort. People had saved individual buildings before, but nothing like this. Anna Hunter went to my grandmother. I was in the room, and she said, Lucy, they're going to tear down the Davenport House. At that time, the Godey Funeral Home was owned the Kehoe Mansion, and they wanted to tear down the Davenport House for parking for the limos. And so my grandmother went to a cousin, Walter Hartridge, who is a historian here in Savannah. And Walter was a Catholic, and he said, and the Godey Funeral Home did all the Catholic burials. And so Walter went to the Monsignor and he said, do you know they're going to tear down the Davenport House? And the Monsignor said, well, this will never do. And so the Godey Funeral Home got a phone call from the Monsignor and they were willing to deal with the seven ladies who were able to raise the money. And that is how historic Savannah began. And I think what's remarkable is that they didn't stop there. And just as Sandy said, they were doing house by house, but then they sponsored the naming of the historic district so that you couldn't tear down the houses anymore. They were at least saved, and then they were cataloged and from excellent to, down the line to superlative. And they really put form into what we have now. And furthermore, when I was a girl, Calhoun Square had roads going through it. The police, the fire, and the ambulances all could use it. There might not even have been a square had there not been a historic district formed. They could so easily have taken those squares up for convenience. And when the roads were taken out and the squares were beautified, the hue and cry that went up from the police and the fire department and the ambulances were that it was going to cost lives.
I don't mean to interrupt you. You're at over 2 minutes, but I just wanted to be respectful of everyone else who's going to speak.
I just want us to be cognizant of what a contribution they made and how wonderful the city is now and what they did for it. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Thank you. If there's anyone else here to speak on the petition, yes, please. If you could just come to the podium and then just say your name for the record. If you could just be cognizant of the 2 minutes,
I'll be gladly cognizant of the 2 minutes.
Okay, thank you.
My name is Meg Welch, and I might have been a little late getting my letter in, so I hope it made it. But this is basically what I said. I've loved, like so many of you, just the opportunity to learn about so many of these inspiring people that are all would be incredible opportunities to name the square after. As I've pondered these seven ladies, I've thought about a couple of things. One is just their collaboration, how they really worked together toward a common goal. But I think the main thing is just that they were visionaries and that where there was brokenness, they saw beauty. Where there were ruins, they saw potential. And I just feel like, isn't this kind of everyone's story? aren't we all broken and in need of restoration? Aren't we all in need of others seeing our potential and believing in us? And as a native Savannian and a local realtor, I'm just so thankful that these seven ladies who helped to save the beauty that we are so privileged to enjoy and would love to take a cue from these ladies and look for beauty in need of restoration rather than brokenness in need of destruction. And just what a unique opportunity for the city to kind of hone in on this inspiration. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else here to comment on this petition? Anyone online?
No, sir.
Thank you. Okay. Then we will move on to item number 12, the petition of Jack White for the square naming of Meralt Square. And we'll hear from staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Caitlin Chamberlain again. The applicant is requesting approval to name the currently unnamed public square to the name Meralt Square in honor of Aspasia Cruvelier Meralt, a woman of color who was a successful business owner who remained in Savannah during the Civil War. For community diversity, the standard is met as naming a square after a woman of color would bring diversity to the list of square names where women and minorities are underrepresented groups. For the appropriateness and compatibility of the request in relation to the existing area, the standard appears to be met through the local business and property owner aspect. Those specifics were not provided. The applicant provided
I'm sorry, Caitlin. which ones wasn't provided?
This was a kind of a scant application. Mm-hmm. So, there was just not a lot of detail about where the businesses were located.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Anything like that. No, you're good.
Yes, so with the information, the applicant did provide a broad list of accomplishments of Meralt and her family, but specifics are not provided. The applicant also mentioned that Meralt, a woman of color, used slave labor, but the sentence structure is worded in a way that makes it unclear as to whether Meralt herself was a slave owner or was relying on the labor of enslaved people to allow her businesses to operate. And that was the one request staff had of the applicant, was more information for that. Applicant, for his statement, stated Meralt came to Savannah with her family. She grew up in Savannah with numerous family members being successful in business. She became an owner of numerous businesses in Savannah as well. She owned property in Savannah and used her entrepreneurial skills and assets available to her to be successful. But they did have a recommendation, an endorsement through city council, and thus staff did recommend the Historic Site and Monument Commission recommend approval to the City Council for consideration of the name Meralt Square, with the condition that they provide clarification about Meralt's reliance on slave labor and further details about the Meralt family businesses.
Okay. Yeah, thank you for that. Any questions of staff on this petition? No questions of staff. We can hear from the petitioner. Thank you, Kaylin. Is the petitioner
here? I don't know if Mr. White is coming.
That's unfortunate, because I was going to ask him if he understood the clarification. That's unfortunate. Well, we'll have to make sure that the petitioner does understand that there is a clarification. Sean?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Are you? This isn't a question for the city. It would be more so for the petitioner. So that's where I figured that this would fall in. Although the petitioner's not here, and incidentally, the petitioner was also absent at the Park and Tree Commission as well.
Okay, that is notable.
So I the reason I need to speak now and not wait until the end is because this particular application, in my opinion, does not meet any of the requirements that the city has. This application is almost an entire joke to the city of Savannah's naming process. And unfortunately, I had to read the letter that he submitted at the Park and Tree Commission. So that, if you count that as a letter of support, it is not from me. Under no circumstances is that from me. Because of the way how the application process went through for the Park and Tree Commission, the applicant sent the read this at the Park and Tree Commission for him in place of him. And I had to read that. And anybody who was in attendance remembers me reading emoji face, whatever it is, right? I didn't want to read this at all. It's like I said, it's a mockery of this entire process.
I mean, I'm not to interrupt, so but I think you did do the right thing because it was a matter of public record. And
yes.
I applaud you for
doing that. And so I need to speak out that I've heard everyone say, all 14 of this one does not deserve any going or recommendation. My personal opinion is this one should have done exactly what this person kind of wanted to do and just not even bother submitting the application.
Okay. So that, I mean,
sorry about my frustration, but this one really, really angered me.
That's a fair point. And I think maybe we can take that under consideration when we have a conversation at the end on whether we not put 14 through or not. And I think it's also notable to say that this petitioner did not show up to the Park and Tree and did not show up to here, which is, it's not a very good reflection. They're not here to defend themselves, but that's on them. Thank you, Sean, for those comments. Any other questions or comments, I don't disagree necessarily. Any other questions or comments of staff? Petitioner is not here. There was one letter of support that the city had for Meralt Square. Is there anyone here to speak on this petition for the public comment period?
Mr. Chairman, again, just as a point of clarification, that letter was not a letter of support. It was what I submitted it
from the petitioner.
Right, but it went to me, so I forwarded it to the Square's email loop. This is what he wants me to read at the Park and Tree Commission.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what I want to clarify. So I don't really know if you want to even call.
I will reserve editorial comment on that because that was a different meeting.
Sorry.
But your point taken. if there's anyone here in the member of the public to comment on this petition, please raise your hand. If there is anyone online that is here, that is online to comment on this petition, including the petitioner.
No? No, sir.
Okay. Then we'll move on. Sean, your point is taken, and maybe we can have that can be part of our discussion at the end. Item number 13 is the petition of Robert Fennell, square naming of Hostess City of the South Square. We'll hear from staff first.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Caitlin Chamberlain again. The applicant is requesting approval to name the unnamed square Hostess City of the South Square in an effort to strengthen neighborhood identity without specifically naming the square after a person. Per community diversity, the standard is met. The applicant stated, although the city of Savannah, Georgia is well known as the Hostess City of the South, there is no landmark that represents this distinguished designation. The renaming of this square is a great opportunity for the city leaders to publicly display the recognition of this great historic city as the Hostess City of the South. The applicant's statement of reasons supporting the renaming request included, we are living in a period of extreme critical opinions. Instead of renaming this square for a person, it is hereby strongly recommended that the square be named for a characteristic or theme that will unite all citizens of the great city of Savannah, Georgia. And the staff recommends that the HSMC recommend approval to the Savannah City Council for consideration of the name Hostess City of the South Square. Thank you.
Thanks, Caitlin. Any questions of staff on this petition? We did not see any letters in the city packet, letters of support for this name. That doesn't mean it doesn't have support. We just didn't have any letters for it. Is the petitioner here for this application? Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson and Board members of the Historic Site and Monument Commission, for providing time and being part of this process to rename the Savannah Square. My name is Robert H. Fennell, Jr.
My apologies, sir.
That's okay. It happens both a lot of times. My proposed square name is Hostess City of the South. Although the city of Savannah is internationally known for Southern charm and hospitality, there is no landmark that represents this distinguished designation. The renaming of this square is a fantastic opportunity for city leaders to publicly display the well-earned recognition that the great historic city of Savannah, Georgia deserves. The name Hostess City of the South is an honorable representation of the past, present, and future citizens of Savannah. This name is not representative of one segment of the city, but is all-inclusive of the citizens of the great city of Savannah. This name is hereby presented to unite all citizens with a well-deserved designation of the city. During the presentations to the Park and Tree Commission, the subject of education was mentioned frequently. With Massey School on the square and with many young students visiting Massey, this square could provide educational opportunities. Therefore, it is recommended that this square be divided into four equal quadrants. Each quadrant would recognize a different historical subject, such as Creek Indians, Susie King Taylor, Seven Sisters, and others. This square would then contribute four educational opportunities instead of just one. And as you make your decision, remember the words of Johnny Mercer's song, you've got to accentuate the positive. Naming the square Hostess City of the South is accentuating the positive of the city of Savannah. Well, thank you.
Thank you, sir. That is certainly an interesting proposition. That is not the purview of this board, however, but that's certainly an interesting proposition for sure. Thank you. Any questions of the petitioner, Lisa?
I do. Hi. Thank you. I do have to say that I did appreciate your petition. Sometimes we focus on people so much and not the community. And, so I just wanted to tell you that I really didn't appreciate something a little different. Thank you.
Yes. And that was just the purpose, is to kind of as Mr. Oshin said about WW law, let's try something new, try something different.
Sean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. Mr. Fennell, how did you, and where did you come up with that really awesome idea with this four different, like, I think that's a great idea. Like, I think it's awesome. So how did you come up with that idea? To clarify, not the hostess city name, the each different quadrant is a different education area. I think that's awesome.
That was just from at the Park and Tree Commission. As I said, education mentioned several times. So I can see, you know, if the kids are there at Massey, if they go to the square, they can learn about four different historical subjects about the city of Savannah.
That's an awesome idea. Thank you.
Any other questions of the petitioner? Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I should say we had, did I already mention this? We didn't have any letters of support come through the city anyway. That doesn't mean there's not support out there, but we just didn't see any letters. That's all. Is there anyone here to speak on this petition in person or online? There we have a raise your hand feature. No online.
No, sir.
Thank you. Okay. We'll move along to item number 14, which is the petition of Guinevere Waite for the square naming of Musgrove Square. We'll hear from staff.
All right. Thank you. The applicant is requesting approval to name the currently unnamed square Musgrove Square in honor of Mary Musgrove, a local woman of both Native American Creek and European descent, who acted as an interpreter between the indigenous people of the area and General Oglethorpe and other English colonists. She was hired by Oglethorpe to work as a translator, and she worked for him from 1733 to 1743. She also owned several trading posts in the area. For diversity, the standard is met. The applicant states that naming the square after a woman of Native American descent will recognize more diversity in the local history of Savannah. The statement of reasons supporting the renaming request, the applicant stated Mary Musgrove acted as an interpreter to General Oglethorpe, the founder of Savannah, mixed with Native American and European. She spoke both languages and helped promote peace and settle disagreements between natives and colonists. She went on to own several trading posts. Her most famous post was excavated in 2002, revealing much about the local Native American culture of the time. The staff recommends the Historic Site and Monument Commission recommend approval to Savannah City Council for consideration of the name Musgrove Square. Thank you.
Thank you, Caitlin. Any questions of staff about this petition? If there are no questions, we can hear from the petitioner, if they're here. Is the petitioner here? From Musgrove Square, we have, there was one discrepancy. We counted seven to eight letters, of support through the city's, website. So if the petitioner is not here, it looks like, we'll hear from public comment. If there's anyone here from the public to comment on this petition, please come up, state your name.
Hello, my name is Andrew Jones. I believe that there are monuments already to Mary Musgrove. I think she has a plaque one square over. I believe there was also a monument to her in South Carolina and another one in Fort Frederica. But what really I find problematic is the elimination of a chapter in her life. It's a very interesting one. But when her claims weren't met, she marched into Savannah and threatened Savannah with force. She came here with 200 Creek warriors. And the leaders of the town were so upset, they summoned Noble Jones out from Wormslow to come in with his rangers in order to defend the city, because they didn't know if the city was going to be burned down, if they were going to be massacred or what. The rangers came into the city, the Creeks put down their arms, and everybody eventually went to the tavern and got drunk together. But I'm not sure it's appropriate to name a square in Savannah after someone who actually took a military action against the city. I find it problematical. I guess that's a decision someone else will have to make. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else here to comment on the petition in person or online? If you're online, just use, as I say, the raise your hand feature. If not.
No, sir.
Thank you. If not, we'll move on to petition number 15. Item number 15, the petition of Rita Fuller Yates for the square renaming of DeVoe Square.
All right. Thank you. Let's go ahead. Okay. The applicant is requesting approval to name the currently unnamed public square DeVoe Square in honor of Jane A. DeVoe, a teacher and abolitionist of African and European descent. DeVoe was known for teaching enslaved children in a time when it was illegal to do so. Though there were many secret schools around Savannah, hers is believed to have lasted the longest. For community diversity, the standard is met. The applicant states that naming the square after a woman of African descent would bring more diversity to the publicly named spaces in the city. The applicant's reasoning supporting the renaming requests include Jane and her mother secretly taught enslaved and free people on 231 Price Street beginning in the 1830s. Though it was illegal to educate slaves in 19th century America, there were several secret schools in Savannah during the antebellum era, and many were raided and shut down. DeVoe's lasted the longest. She and her mother ran her school for 30 years. She was much admired and respected in the African American community and is well deserving of this honor. And the staff recommends that the Historic Site and Monument Commission recommend approval to Savannah City Council for consideration of the name DeVoe Square. Thank you, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Caitlin. I should mention also there was one letter that we had through the city's packet, one letter of support for this. Any questions of staff on this petition? If not, then we can hear from the petitioner, if the petitioner is here. That makes three petitioners that aren't here. They're not required to be, but it's not a great look. Anyone here for public comment on that petition? If you're here online, just use the raise your hand feature. We can wait a couple of seconds. It doesn't look like anyone is here in person for that petition either. Nobody online. Okay. We will move on to the petition of Susie King Taylor Center for Jubilee, for the square naming of Taylor Square, and we'll hear from staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The applicant is requesting approval to name the currently unnamed public square at the intersection of Abercorn Street and Wayne Street to the name Susie King Taylor Square in honor of Susie Baker King Taylor, who was a catalyst for positive change during and after the antebellum period on the coast of Georgia. For community diversity, the standard is met. The applicant states that naming the square after Susie King Taylor will advance community diversity, as it will be the first time that a woman and an African-American woman is honored with a square name. The appropriateness of the location, the standard is met due to Taylor's contributions to Savannah. The applicant stated there is the potential that the homes where she received her secret schooling were in the vicinity of the presently unnamed square. The statement of reasons provided by the applicant states naming the square after Susie Baker King Taylor will also commemorate the local history and strengthen the neighborhood identity by openly acknowledging that there are hundreds of enslaved Africans buried in the vicinity of Calhoun and Whitfield Squares. This area was originally known as the quote Negro burial ground and quote strangers burial ground. This report thoroughly supports our board of directors' intentions to honor the hundreds of enslaved and free Africans who lie beneath the unmarked ground. We believe that this sacred place deserves an honorable name that will also commemorate it as a place to pay homage to those souls who have no names left to call or places to bring flowers. After more than a century and a half of honoring a man, John C. Calhoun, who worked to divide and break up this country, it is surely fitting now to rename the square after someone, Susie King Taylor, who, though enduring enslavement under the laws and customs of this country, nonetheless dedicated her considerable talents to holding this country together. The staff recommends that the Historic Site and Monument Commission recommend approval to the Savannah City Council for consideration of the name Susie King Taylor Square. Thank you, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Caitlin. Any questions of staff on this petition? So there was a bit of a discrepancy between Lisa and I's count of the letters. There was this got by far the most number of letters of support. We had Lisa had 148 count. I had 162. There were a number of petitions that were included. There were a few people that sent multiple letters of support. We tried to only count each individual once, so that probably accounts for some of the discrepancy. But we can say between 148 and 162 letters, they were by far the most letters of support for any petition. No questions of staff. We can hear from the petitioner.
Good afternoon again, Commission.
Good afternoon.
I'm not want to repeat what I said earlier, but I'm Pat Gunn, and I'm the co-founder of the Center for Jubilee. And as the petitioner, I don't want to be repetitious. The information is there in terms of who she was. And this coming Sunday, she will have been 175 years old, born in 1848. I do believe that she will be a catalyst for positive change. I do remember having conversations. If I may, I talked to Mayor Otis Johnson, and he said it will be twofold. It would satisfy the woman on Name Square and the African American. I think it's threefold now, though. I think it would also honor the dead. When I get a call to say, come to Calhoun Square, and I go down there and I find out that this is a Negro burial ground and a stranger cemetery, and there are no markers for the dead, I think this is an opportunity to honor the dead and commemorate someone like a Susie King Taylor. She was also one of those that was taught to read, write, and count by the abolitionists because her grandmother encouraged that. And I noticed in 1829, the governor of Georgia passed a law. It was not only illegal for an African slave to learn to read, write, and count, but also free men and women of color. So the braveness of this woman to go into these houses and sneak into attics and basements and teach someone even for a moment. And then after the Civil War, she goes down to Fort Pulaski with her uncle and joins the Civil War for the 1861 beginning of the war in this part of the country. And then afterwards start schools and then go to the North when schools were established here and founded the Women's Relief Corps, still helping women and still helping people. This would be a wonderful opportunity to do threefold things. Our work is entirely about truth-telling, reconciliation, healing, and repair. And I think if we really want a new Savannah, I think this will be a celebrative square where we could do some truth-telling about her and others. We can do some reconciliation. We can do some healing and repair. And in closing, I say that every time I go to the African American Monument, and I thank Dr. Abigail Jordan for putting that there, that is the only African American square down on the river. We do have one on private property at the Kessler J.W. Marriott, but I remember those women putting it together and saying this is an opportunity to pay homage to freedom and not slavery. So we're not honoring slavery. We're commemorating those, and she would be a wonderful candidate for the selection. I know that her birthday is coming, so we think that if you could reflect and think of her on that square, we would be honored.
Thank you so much.
You.
I have one comment or question maybe. I know that you commented before, maybe it was at the Park and Tree Commission, or maybe I'd heard you say this before, that you all had looked at a number of names. Is that correct? And then you landed on Susie King Taylor. Could you speak to that just a little bit?
Yes, thank you. So we made an application initially in 2020 to the city of Savannah. We got 51% three times. And once we got a new structure, we wanted to let the community know, the public know, that we wanted to petition for two squares, Calhoun Square as well as Whitfield Square. Whitfield Square is where the cemetery is for the Negro burial ground. And for Calhoun, it's the stranger. So we wanted to name one the Sankofa Square and the other one Jubilee Square. We compromised with the neighbors. They've been wonderful, and they wanted the name. And so after a lot of research, we decided Susie King Taylor would be most honorable for that square because of her contributions. And so I also want to say that the real heroes in all of this work has been the neighbors around the square. They are the ones that have lobbied and got the 51%. And so we pay homage to them, too, for pushing this forward. And I also want to commend the city of Savannah for putting a new process together so that we can stand here to make a public square. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Any questions of the petitioner? Sean.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. I think I asked you this at the Park and Tree Commission, but I don't remember, but I know that now it's got a different answer regardless. So previously at the Park and Tree Commission, that exact same question was asked, except it wasn't how you came up with Susie King. It was, is it Susie King that you're looking to have named, or is it Taylor Square? Again, it's the same person. It's more so just a matter of letters, characters on a, on the sign, however you want to put it, right? So to that, that's my only question. What exactly is it?
Yes. So the application says Susie King Taylor, but we asked specifically in quote that it be named Taylor Square, similar to the other squares. There's a Johnson Square. There's, you know, their last names only. So we want it to be Taylor Square and to have a marker that says Taylor Square. And we hope, based on our application originally in 2020, to have the opportunity to petition the city to create a statue, perhaps, a fountain, a bench, or something later. But in terms of the name, we would like it to be named Taylor Square and to have a marker that tells the information about Susie King Taylor.
Sean.
Thank you. Sorry, I think I'm all right. So, and sorry if I'm being really dumb and bringing down the intelligence of the room. I apologize on that one. Thanks, Alicia. All right. So you're going with not Alicia Square. You're going with Taylor Square, but the application was submitted as Susie King Taylor Square, right?
Yes.
So for, and I know that we're not at staff question, but I do want to refer this question to staff. Is that possible? Does that make sense? Because the application was submitted as a Susie King Taylor, but it's, sorry to drag this point out, but I just wanted more so for my own point, personal clarification.
I don't know if this is working. The application does say Susie King Taylor, but they do also mention that to keep it shorter, and it would be Taylor Square officially.
We also want to note that that is a Taylor Street, and that Taylor is someone else.
Right.
So 100 years from now, we're all gone.
And ironically,
we want the records to show who this Taylor was, and so that needs to be some descriptive in the square. But because of the longness of the name, we think that Taylor would be appropriate for the square.
I mean, that's in keeping with all the other squares as well. I mean, they all have a first name that goes with them, obviously. So,
I'm just making sure I have the correct name accurate. Like, I mean, you could even throw out SK Taylor Square as I'm not saying that as a suggestion, but no. Okay. Alicia says no on that one. Susie King. All right. So Susie King is the one you want to go with.
That's correct.
Okay. Gotcha. Thanks.
Any other questions of the petitioner? Did that suffice, Sean?
Yes.
Let's go with yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. I think I made an interesting point too. That's why I asked about there being anything else in that square, because it does seem like it's one of the more empty squares. So there's more potential for more monuments and that sort of thing in that square. I'm going to guess there are people here to speak on this petition. We'll do this in an orderly way. Yeah. I think we didn't have a sign up sheet. So, I think if we just do it by hand raise. Yes, ma'am. You can just come on up and say your name, into the microphone for the record. And if there's anyone online, just use the raise your hand feature. We'll get to the online comments after the in-person comments. Thank you.
Hi, excuse me. Hi, I'm Ann Fenstermacher. This is a rare and historic moment in Savannah's history to make a statement of belonging, inclusion, and acknowledgement. Savannah is a deep South city, majority Black. The African American imprint is all over this city. Its infrastructure, its wealth, its prosperity speaks to generations of sweat equity by the Black community, but with very little recognition or benefit. Susie King Taylor is a daughter of Savannah. She escaped slavery, learned to read, and went on to teach the children of Savannah. When so much Black history has been lost or erased, we're blessed with Susie King Taylor's reminiscences from her time in the Union camp, teaching soldiers and nursing Union soldiers, along with Clara Barton. If we knew as much about Susie King Taylor as we do about Clara Barton, if we were as familiar with the name Susie King Taylor as we are the name of Clara Barton, I think there'd be no question that it's appropriate to name this square after an African American and a woman to boot. I'm in favor of embracing her whole name, Susie King Taylor, for the square. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and commission members. My name is Christiana Turner, and I am a homeowner on formerly Calhoun Square. I'd like to thank you for allowing me this opportunity to speak today. I became involved in the process to remove John C. Calhoun's name during the COVID shutdown. I was one of several square homeowners who spoke before Savannah City Council in November 2022, encouraging the mayor and alderpersons to unanimously vote to remove John C. Calhoun's name from our square. At that council meeting, I also identified myself as a second cousin of John C. Calhoun's, eight times removed. Once City Council unanimously voted to remove Calhoun's name, a discussion began in earnest to consider names for our square. During this period, several names were batted about by ward neighbors and the coalition. Several of the 14 names being considered by the city currently were among those that we discussed. In the end, our combined group settled on Susie King Taylor. We were moved by Mrs. Taylor's accomplishments, often with a disregard for her own safety. As two of our committee members who could not attend today's hearing have previously pointed out, renowned American historian Catherine Clinton has written a foreword to the newest publication of Mrs. Taylor's memoir, quote, My Life in Camp, unquote, which was first published in 1902. In her foreword, Mrs. Clinton writes, quote, Taylor's book is distinctive and singular because it remains the only published account by a black woman serving with the military during the Civil War. Utterly unique in the annals of history of the United States, it is the only written account from the singular perspective, a formerly enslaved African-American woman. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe this may be the only opportunity in our lifetimes to rename a Savannah Square. This is a unique opportunity, and it would be most appropriate to honor an African-American woman who lived and worked in Savannah, Georgia. At the recent Park and Tree Commission meeting, Mrs. Taylor earned the most votes from the commission, a total of six. She was followed by three candidates who each received three votes apiece. This is your moment in Savannah history. You have the opportunity to recommend the Savannah City Council rename the square that had honored a staunch defender of slavery with the name of a most accomplished, formerly enslaved African-American woman, Susie King Taylor. Thank you again for this opportunity to speak.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, Karen. But if there's anyone else, yes, ma'am.
So, okay, thank you to the commission for this opportunity. My name is Dr. Faith Parks. I am Professor Emerita at Georgia Southern University. I'm not here, however, to speak in behalf of Georgia Southern. I'm here speaking personally. I first want to say that this whole event is absolutely a testament and instructive to the need for our American history to be known and to be shared, because so many stories that have been shared tonight are stories we're all hearing for the first time, which is really quite sad. But with regard to this particular moment, I would like to respond to a question that was posed by a member of the Site and Monument Commission. Why does naming the square, and it was any blank square, the blank name in the square, but why does naming the square Susie King Taylor make sense for the city of Savannah? My reply is that sites and monuments are spaces that represent aspects of our American stories. There should be evolving meanings of sites and monuments to Savannah's diverse community. There are undertold stories, and Susie King Taylor is one of them. Taylor Square will tell the story of a life exemplified by the values of courage, caring, and citizenship. Taylor Square represents values that matter to the city of Savannah. Susie King Taylor Square marks a space to say we celebrate and care about Susie King Taylor's accomplishments in the midst of overwhelming obstacles. And this is a story that is worthy to tell. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your comments. Is there anyone else here in person that wants to speak on this petition? Yes, sir.
Yes, my name is Andrew Jones, and first I'd like to extend an apology for a poor choice of wording earlier this evening and apologize for any offense I have caused. Susie King Taylor was certainly a brave and noble woman. There's no question about that. And I agree with the Jubilee that is important to honor those in those burial grounds. And it is important to pay homage to those souls who have no names to call. I think where we differ is that I believe that Dr. Casey is that person. He knew their names. They knew his. He's the person with the connection to the people in those burial grounds. Those burial grounds were closed in 1844. Susie King Taylor was not born until 1848. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else here in person to speak on this petition? There's no one else here in person, then we can move to online. If there's, yes, ma'am.
Hello, Savannah. Hello, Metropolitan Planning Commissioners.
Hello.
It's a pleasure to be here with you today. I want to say thank you to all who are in attendance and who have braved this very long meeting. I want to first acknowledge that we as sitting city council members did not have any acknowledgement of the first item on the agenda related to the marker for Calhoun Square. So I'm not certain how this body could entertain that petition when the full council was not apprised of that. We didn't vote on it.
I think we're making a recommendation to you all, if that's how I understand it. That might be a question of staff.
Right.
Though, so
the item on the agenda is from the city of Savannah. And I'm
gotcha.
A part of the body,
gotcha.
And myself, Alderwoman Blakely and Lanier had no knowledge of it prior. I just want that record to reflect that. Nonetheless, I want to thank you all for braving this process that, in my opinion, is quite convoluted and made up. It's to further confuse the public. I think a couple of points I want to make. One, it's important for us to know that the advocates and activists of Susie B. King Taylor have been working in excess of 2 years to remove the currently no-named marker from the park, from the square. I think that work is to continually be recognized and honored. This group they stayed together. They have been tenacious in their efforts, and they have been deliberate in their intentions to name this square Susie B. King Taylor. And so for us to engage the public in a way, in my opinion, further divides the community. It's pitting individuals who are well-intended and passionate about the names that they have put forth. It's creating an adversarial scenario that I don't know that's necessary. And it's because the public was not fully informed of the history where the advocates and activists of Susie B. King Taylor were concerned. And so I want to remind those who are passionate about the names that they are putting forth that there are other squares. And if they want to use as a teachable moment or as a demonstration of how to do this or how to go about it, I think the work that the advocates for Susie B. King Taylor, that work is to be commended. And it could certainly serve as a process by which individuals engage the relationships, the communion, and the partnerships that were birthed from their activism is beautiful. They charted their course to remove the name from the square. They've charted their course to rename the square. But amidst that, they have established very meaningful relationships that fosters a great deal of community and unity. And I think that's the biggest lesson that we all can learn from this process. In closing, I want us all to recognize that we here today and everyone under the sound of my voice have the ability to live history right now today, live our lives in such a way today that maybe, just maybe, 50, 60, 100 years from now, the work that we do today will speak volume for us tomorrow, and somebody just might want to name a square after you. Thank you.
Thank you. And your point is taken, and I do think it is fair to, and I was going to bring this up, that I mean, it is a fair point to make that Ms. Gunn and the work that the Center for Jubilee has been doing has brought us to this point. So we are tasked with what we have before us now, but your point is definitely well taken. Is there anyone else? Ms. Blakely, anyone else?
No
problem. If there's anyone online to speak for this petition.
There's Jennifer Craig again. I'm just going to unmute her right now.
Jennifer, if you can hear us, go ahead and the floor is yours.
I can. Hi. Good afternoon. Good to be with you. I'm Jennifer Craig. Savannah is my second home, and I'm very humbled to say that to the enrichment of my experience of living here, a cluster of private individuals, if not yet my city, it has given me to know what a key figure is Susie King Taylor in Savannah's history. Now, just reaching into my memory for a split minute, I heard this name earlier. I remember learning in public school about Civil War nurse, teacher, and American Red Cross founder Clara Barton. I did not learn about Susie King Taylor, a Civil War nurse and an educator who journeyed from slavery to freedom, who wrote Civil War memoirs of her own, who experienced having her pay and pension withheld from her by the United States military, who co-founded the Women's Relief Corps, and who Clara Barton had the opportunity, the distinct opportunity to know. So I think that our public servants in government have every capability to own this type of erasure and to publicly honor a remarkable African-American Gullah Geechee woman and pioneering Civil War era Savannah leader. I think we can reverse the patterns of history for our community's lasting social good by uplifting the one name of Susie King Taylor, who, as Ms. Pat Gunn mentioned, will on August 6th, her birthday, have been part of this city's history for 175 years. Now, thank you for hearing me, and I dare to hope with an empowered hope that you absolutely will participate in being this change. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else online to comment?
No, sir.
Thank you. Okay. Well, then with that, we will move on. Lisa?
I just want clarification. If we do select this, are we – I'm sorry to bring this up again, but somebody said Susie King and the other said Taylor Square, and I'm just confused which one we are – considering.
What's the question?
Are we
Susie King Taylor Square, shortened to Taylor Square for the purposes of signage, let's say.
Definitely Taylor
right?
Square. Yeah. Okay.
But Yes. The namesake is Susie King Taylor.
Okay.
As all the squares have like a last name.
Right.
First name. They're referred to as the last name. Is that correct?
Okay. Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Does that make sense? Does that clarify?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And we have one last petition. The petition of Judy Bradley, Ford Square renaming of Wesley Square. And we'll hear from staff.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. This is Caitlin Chamberlain. The applicant is requesting approval to name the currently unnamed public square Wesley Square in honor of the brothers John Wesley and Charles Wesley, who came to Savannah in 1735 and were the founders of the Methodist Church. The applicant for community diversity said that there's currently no square name for a set of brothers who are worldwide religious figures. The appropriateness and compatibility of the request in relation to the existing area, the standard is met due to the fact that the Wesley brothers spent time in Savannah and there is a church named in their honor in the unnamed square. Their statement of reasons supporting the renaming requests, as per the applicant, brothers Charles and John Wesley are the founders of the Methodist Church. They began the movement that became Methodism in the 1730s. The Methodist movement spread through the British Empire, the United States, and beyond because of vigorous missionary work. Charles Wesley published more than 4,500 hymns and left some 3,000 in manuscripts. The Wesleys opposed slavery, as indicated in John Wesley's thoughts upon slavery, where he called it a complicated villainy and noted, "Slaveholding is utterly inconsistent with mercy, is almost too painful to need a proof." And with that, staff recommends that the Historic Site Monument Commission recommend approval to Savannah City Council for consideration of the name Wesley Square. Thank you.
Thank you, Caitlin. I'll note that the Wesley Square was the second most, was the name with the second most letters of support. We have a slight discrepancy of, between 90 and 92, let's say, letters that came through the city's, through the city. Are there any questions of staff? If there's no questions of staff, we can hear from the petitioner. Yes, sir.
My name is Ben Martin. I'm the senior pastor at Wesley Monumental United Methodist Church, which sits on this square. I want to say a word of thanks to you as the commission for wading through 17 petitions. And for those of you who have sat here today through a long meeting, I can tell you, as a pastor of a church the last 10 years that sits on that square, there are countless names on this list that we will be honored to sit on that square and face, from the first one we heard from in Creek Square to the last one we heard from Susie King Taylor. There are honorable names to put on that square, and we're grateful for the work that people put into that. I'm here on behalf of Judy Bradley, who's a member of our church who submitted this. I'll keep it brief. When I saw that there were 17 presentations to be done here this evening, and I thought about my schedule and my time, I thought, I leave here tonight humbled and grateful to have spent this time here. It is a reminder once again of the remarkable lives that people live, the self-giving sacrifices that people make, that make a community what it is. And so I learned something, and I'm grateful for that. It was worth the time to be here. Saying that, Wesley Monumental has been on that square for 155 years. It was built as a monument to the Wesleyan movement, and it was built by money donated from Methodists all over the world to help remember the Wesleyan movement and how it affected the world. So this is not so much about Wesley Monumental, this name, but about, as was mentioned, John and Charles Wesley, the founders of that movement. They, of course, came to America at the invitation of General Oglethorpe, 1735, 1736. It was short-lived, a couple of years, not that successful in many ways, but this really is so much their impact on Savannah as it is Savannah's impact on them. The 2 years that they spent here sent John Wesley back really searching his own faith. And in the midst of that search, it led him to a transformation of his own heart that started this movement called Methodism It had a huge impact on frontier America. You can read religious historians about America and the Methodist movement and how it changed the landscape of faith in this country. In England, it had significant effect, directly led the way to the abolition of slavery in England and prison reforms. Some people would argue that the Methodist movement largely prevented a civil war there. Every year, thousands of Methodists come to Savannah. They come to Savannah because of the history of the Wesleys, the small bit of history that Wesleys spent here. And they often visit numerous Wesley sites that are around the city that are remembered in different kinds of ways. There are about 80 million Methodists worldwide in their various iterations. We're United Methodists, some of those 80 million. Many of them come to Wesley Monumental to remember a bit of their heritage as Methodists. And, you know, arguably there are no historical figures that have had a greater global impact coming that had some touch of Savannah upon them on this list than the Wesley brothers did. As a church, honored to be named for that and remembered for that. We're honored to be where we are as a part of the downtown community. And we hope we'll continue to have significant impact on this downtown community inspired by our Wesleyan heritage. We'll continue to support causes that address issues of social justice in this community, like poverty, homelessness, at-risk children, and others that we're involved in. Thank you for your time and your consideration.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your comments as well. And I just do want to comment on, I really do, this is to all the petitioners, I really appreciate the civility and respect that everyone's given each other. That, I think that's is commendable, and it's a good, great reflection on everyone. I think we all can, I can speak for everyone to say that we all think these are all very worthy names as well. So this is quite a task here. But thank you, sir. Did anyone have any questions of the petitioner? No? Okay. Thank you, sir. Sean, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. I just want to comment at the Park and Tree Commission meeting, Judy Bradley was in place. And I think even though she's mentioned that she was hesitant for public speaking, I think all three of you, because she had another person with her at that time, have done a great job also presenting as well. So thank you.
So we have the final public comment period for this petition. If there's anyone here in person to speak on this petition, you can raise your hand. Excuse me. And if there's anyone online, you can use the raise your hand feature. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Andrew Jones, just one comment. The next ward over is Wesley Ward. So it would be a little confusing to have a Wesley Square in Calhoun Ward and then a Whitfield Square and Wesley Ward. Just that's something I think that you should consider in the context of the name.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
I don't have anything. Chairman,
can you just speak into the mic so we know?
Sure. Just for clarity, and as I stated, this process is very confusing, and I think we're sort of wading through and trying to figure it out as we go. Can you go over again what this body is responsible for and what the next steps are? Like, what can the group expect in terms of decision-making from this body? And for my clarity, I don't know.
Yes, ma'am. And I will do my best, and I can correct me if I'm wrong. So we are going to make a recommendation to City Council. We're going to speak about it. I would like for us to make a recommendation of a top three. You all will still hear all of the petitions. That doesn't mean that any of these petitions are not going to go through this body. And so that's also information for all the petitioners. Nothing is going to stop here. We're merely going to make a recommendation to City Council, and City Council is not bound by what we say. Hopefully they do listen to our recommendation. But you all are at liberty to do, Luciana, do you want to add to that? But what I would like to do here when we conclude this process is to send maybe a top three names as Park and Treated. Luciana.
Yes, Luciana Spraker again with the City of Savannah, just to help clarify the process for everybody here and watching.
just as you said, Historic Sites and Monument Commission makes recommendations to all monuments, markers, naming petitions that come to the city. We route it through Sites and Monuments to do the initial sort of review and recommendation. In this case, Park and Tree also had to review, and they made a recommendation. Your recommendation does not supersede their recommendation, so council is going to get all of the petitions as well as both recommendations, and that meeting will also again be open for public comment, so people who have missed and or want to reiterate their comment will be that meeting again is a public meeting and will be open to them as well. So hopefully that clears up sort of the additional review process. We basically, by going through the two commissions and then city council, those are three opportunities for the public to speak on this very important matter.
And I have August the 24th for the city council meeting.
That is the current date that we are shooting for, which I believe is an evening meeting. So that gives an opportunity for people to come after work as well.
Thank you for that. And also, again, just to reiterate and clarify for all the petitioners, the recommendations that we make, if we make a top three recommendation, that does not mean that the other petitions are not going to be seen by city council. All the petitions will be considered by city council. So we are making a sort of recommendation of our top choices. Does that clarify? It is tentatively August the 24th. Of course, the city council can change the agenda if they need to, but that's what we have right now.
One last question. Are we delivering presentations or are they simply
looking at? I do not know the answer to that question. The question is, are the petitioners also going to do presentations at city council?
I would say if any petitioners have any questions or need clarification, that you can use the square at savannahga.gov email account so we can make sure it's all clear. And they will receive additional instruction just like they have before each of these meetings. But if they have specific questions, sending those in to our square email will help us make sure we address those.
Okay. Thank you for that.
It is square@savannahga.gov. Square.
Isn't it squares?
No, I think you guys have been calling them squares, but it's square. Singular. We're only naming one square. Remember
that. Saved in my email, so I don't know. I just forward. I click forward and send it to you, that. So.
Yeah, and that goes directly to city staff, so that we see the. That's how we're getting public comment as well. If you would just like to submit a public comment that goes on the record, all of the letters that have been mentioned by our chairman today, those are all going to go on to city council. They will also get a packet of all the various support letters, and additional letters that come in prior to council meeting will be added to that. So they will have an opportunity not just to review all the petitions, but to review all of the support and in some cases comment against that have come in through our square email.
Thank you, Luciana. Do all the petitioners have it? I mean, if anyone else has any questions to clarify, I'm happy to entertain that. We want to make sure that there's as little confusion as possible on this. Okay. So as I understand, there's no public comments on this petition online or any more in person. Okay. Thank you all. Again, I want to say thank you for everyone for your generosity, for your time, for your patience for this process, and we will try to not belabor this too much more. I'm going to suggest, so we did have a conversation at our last meeting about how we wanted to proceed, and I think, and also as what happened at Park and Tree, what they did is go down, each individual gave their top three choices, and we basically tallied it up and gave that recommendation to city council. Does that seem like it would work for everyone on this commission?
Just as a point of clarification, Christopher, it wasn't top three, it was up to top five.
Okay, and I'm open to doing that as well.
Yeah, I just want to make it
no,
sure
no,
it's
I mean,
accurate.
It's, whatever you all want to do, I will not be voting, so I think if you want to give 1 to 5, and we can tally the top three. Does that make sense?
Did we want to have
Chairman Moreau? I just wanted to make sure that we clarified it. In the last meeting, we agreed it would be the top five. that would go to City Council. So I want to make sure that
we're going to do a top 5
in accordance with what we voted on.
Thank you. My memory is apparently very short. So that's fine. 5 is easy. Let's just go through and each person will give their top 5. Yeah, I think we're going to take a 5-minute break. I do. But if you all want to help me tally so we have a backup, that'll be great.
Mr. Chairman, do you still want to do board discussion prior to this or no?
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you all, we're going to take a.
I know this is a brand.
I know everybody's been really patient about this. I don't want to belabor this, but I think we can let our commissioners think about this for about 3 minutes. Does that work? And then we'll reconvene and then have a conversation. Does that make sense? Okay, we're going to reconvene in 3 minutes. Thank you for that. I think I didn't say 5. I did say 5. Sure. Check. Thanks for covering this, though. I think this is really important. I've noticed that. So I do appreciate y'all. I appreciate it. It's important. I mean, it's Christopher Monroe, Christopher Monroe. I'm the chair of the city. It's fantastic. And I think as I said, it's pretty amazing. There are a lot of untold stories that are being told here, and I think the civility and respect between each of the petitioners is really honorable. And I feel honored personally to be part of this process because it is quite historic. I think it's about 140 years was the last time the square was renamed. So I mean, it's pretty significant, and it's really an honor. I think I should remain neutral on that question and just say I think the amount of research and dedication and passion that people have is really impressive. And as I mentioned also in the meeting, even any names that whatever name gets put on the square, all of these other names are still worthy of honor in some way or another. So hopefully these individuals are honored. Yes, and I think that, again, I think that it's an interesting point in time where we can come together as a community and sort of discuss what represents Savannah as a community. And that's what this process is. And I think it's important when people come here to comment on the community and sort of talk about what their values are and what name maybe represents. It's an honor. As a city council, thank you. Because my brain's tired. No, I'm like, I don't know if I'm being very. Cool. I trust you. Thanks a lot. Okay, you guys ready? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and reconvene. I think that was more than 3 minutes. Oh. I lied. We're missing some staff. I'm going to hold on. I mean, he is okay.
Too hot. Okay, what happens? Okay, so what if we all say different things? Because I've got a paper that I put just to make fun. I don't want to rank them.
Are we good to go? Okay. I think I'm going to go ahead and reconvene. As long as we have all the pertinent staff here, we can continue. Okay. Again, I want to thank everybody for your patience. This has been very long, and hopefully we can wrap this up fairly briskly. I do want to start with, Pam, thank you for qualifying my statement. We did talk at our last meeting that we would recommend five names. So I think I can open it up for board discussion about how you want to go about it. I was going to suggest just to give me five names and we tally up the top five out of each five name. Sean? I know you have a comment.
Makes you think I have a comment.
Sean.
Oh, I do have a comment. Actually, I got two of them. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. I like that idea. Just name your top five and go through there. But I also did want to see if you wanted to have any, like, board general comments about all of the submitted. I know typically we have board discussion prior to a vote, but I know this is also a different situation. So I didn't know if you wanted to have that as well.
I mean, the one thing I was going to comment on, and now my brain is not as sharp as it was 3 hours ago. The individual who Meralt, who didn't show up at both. Now I think that regardless of what we do here, that application is probably going to continue to go through to City Council, right? I mean, I think so. It's not like we can just kick him off the roster. But I do think it's worth noting and commenting to City Council that that was a pretty flimsy application. The petitioner didn't show up at the Park and Tree, and they didn't show up here. I mean, I would say that was probably the weakest application of them all. It's not a reflection on that individual, but on the Meralt, but it is a reflection on the petitioner. So I don't know what there is to be done about that other than.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. I know I went on a bit of a tirade and I could go on for 7 more hours easily about that. And that's probably a low end statement, but, I think that type of situation, I don't want to look at it, narrow it down to should possibly be discussed at a future meeting, not this one, because you're right. That was a interesting application is the best way to put it. So that way, and it technically met all of their requirements, but I mean, that was literally just thrown out there, for lack of a term, as a slap in the face of the city of Savannah. No matter how you want to look at it, I mean, if you actually read the letter that the person wanted read at the Park and Tree Commission meeting, which is the letter of support, if you will, or the letter about that petition, it goes even more so into this is an entire scam. It's a sham. How dare you do this, right? I mean, taking out all of the hate that was listed in that email. Sorry, that one particular letter really irated me. That's not even a word, but
I mean, so that's a matter of public record. So if anyone here wants to go back and look at the Park and Tree Commission meeting, I think it's worthy. I was fairly offended by that letter myself.
You didn't have to read it.
But I think we can move on from, I mean, so that is what it is.
But
right?
To that same point, I'm sorry, I need to say something positive just to get that negativeness out of. I think all of the applicants, 13 of the 14 applicants require another round of applause. I think they all, those 13 did great. Right.
Yeah. I second that. I mean, again, you all did a fantastic job. And I mean, it really was, it's an honor to be part of this process. One of the things I was going to say, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Sean. The last square that was renamed some 140 years ago. So this is a pretty significant situation. And I mean, the work that you all have done, is to be commended. Absolutely. So thank you for that. I didn't mean to interrupt, Sean.
Okay. 20 more seconds. And also the creativity that people came up with, right? Like, I mean, Hostess City, I think completely thinking outside of the box of its traditional name, right? Hostess City and Seven Sisters. Yes, named for 7 different people. And Creek even, yes, it's named after the native, the indigenous tribe, but still different from anything else. And yes, this was a very different process, but at the end of the day, it adds to the diversity and the how I want to put it, the ingenuity of the city of Savannah, right? I mean, whether or not your name is finally chosen by city council, hey, it's still, you took the 20 seconds to fill out the application and you submitted it. I think it was a great job for 13 of the 14 applications.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to single, I have words to say on each of them. So but I'm not going to belabor any of it, but I mean, I second that. I mean, I think you all are to be commended for that. Lisa.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I have not taken this lightly. We are all volunteers up here who just want to help the community and facilitate public opinion. I've spent the last 2 months researching all the squares and walking around and really contemplating this. So I'm very nervous right now, but, thank you to all the petitioners. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I really want to thank everyone for all your time. Savannah is a beautiful city. These are really, really hard decisions for us. I think what I looked for is not only just the research, but the amount of passion people had and the amount of people who were supporters of a certain name, because all we are is a community about each other. So that weighs very heavily in my decisions.
I want to thank all of you for all the time that you put into this. I'm a native Savannahan, just like many of you in the room. And I learned so much through this process. I told Sean earlier that I read every application multiple times, but I wanted to hear what you had to say when you got here. The public comment, the passion that so many of you brought to your application is what makes this so difficult. Because I came here today sort of in my mind with, these are kind of my top three. Well, they're not my top three anymore. So this process has been so beneficial, not just for the petitioners, but for us as the commissioners and the city of Savannah to give some transparency to this process. And I really, really do appreciate all of your hard work and the staff. I want to commend the staff because this was a lot of documentation and letters and emails and all this stuff to go through. So I do want to commend the staff that had to put all this together for all of us.
And thank you for saying that. I want to commend staff.
Caitlin, did you get your steps in today walking back and forth all of the different times? I think you probably tripled it, so.
But I do want to second that city staff and NPC staff. I mean, you guys, it was a lot. It's a lot. And hasn't gone unnoticed. So your work is, and again, I just want to keep reiterating this because I am a writer and a journalist. And I think all of this is a matter of public record now. So 20 years from now, 30 years from now, people can come back and read these stories, look at this. They can hear the public comment. We actually publish, the minutes audio recordings of each meeting online. So these will be, I mean, in perpetuity. I mean, maybe the world ends and they won't be available, but I mean, they're going to be available more or less in perpetuity. And I think that's really important. So all of the comments that you all have made about the individuals, it's a real honor. And I think they'll be a matter of public record from now on. So thank you for that. Do we want to entertain more conversation? Do we want to go ahead and just do a top five? So I will, if staff can help me, do a backup tally, I'm going to go ahead and just tally and we'll start down the line. Catherine, I'm going to put you on the spot. Just give me five names and we'll tally them up.
Thank you. This is Catherine. In alphabetical order, Carpenter Square, Center Square, Creek Square, Law Square, Taylor Square.
Well, I don't have an alphabetical order, so I'm sorry. I have Creek, Carpenter, Taylor, Law, and what was the fifth one? Center Square. Okay, thank you.
Not in alphabetical order. Susie King Taylor, Law, Creek, Twin Sisters,
Seven Sisters.
Couldn't read my own writing, and Carpenter.
I'm sorry, what was the last one?
Carpenter.
Thank you. Lisa?
Creek Square, Seven Sisters Square, Taylor Square, Lyle Square, Carpenter Square.
And Sean?
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. In absolutely zero particular order, Susie King Taylor Square, Seven Sisters Square, Creek Square, Law Square, Carpenter Square.
I'm sorry. Yeah. What were the last two?
Reporting. Susie King Taylor Square, Seven Sisters Square, Creek Square, Law Square, Carpenter Square.
Okay. So I can go ahead and tally in real time. I have, Creek Square with 4. I have Carpenter Square with 4. I have Susie King Taylor Square with 4. And then I have Seven Sisters with 3 and Law with 3. That would be the top 5. Is that what you all have? So again, I have Creek Square with 4 votes, Carpenter Square with 4 votes, Susie King Taylor Square with 4 votes, and then Seven Sisters has 3 votes and Law Square has 3 votes. Is that right?
Okay. Who else said law?
I don't know, Lisa. That's too much for me to remember now.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I was just making hatch marks.
Do you break ties?
Pardon?
Do you break ties?
I do break ties, yes. But our goal here is going to be just to recommend five top names.
Excuse me, Lisa. Lisa?
Oh.
Did you say law or Lyle?
Lyle.
Okay, that's what I thought. Thank you.
So I have Lyle Square has one vote and Center Square has one vote. Those would not be in the top five for us. So on that note, would someone want to make a motion to recommend Creek Square, Carpenter Square, Taylor Square, Seven Sisters Square, and Law Square as our top recommendations to City Council? And I just want to reiterate that these are recommendations to City Council. City Council is still going to vote the way they want to vote. I mean, they will hopefully take our recommendations, but they're not bound by our decision here. So I just want to make that clear. Sean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. I make a motion to make the recommendation to council for the five square names just stated.
So I'll state the motion as
Susie King Taylor, Seven Sisters Square, Creek Square, I'm going too fast again, aren't I?
That's right. So
I've got it as Susie King Taylor Square, Seven Sisters Square, Creek Square, Law Square, Carpenter Square. Those are the five recommendations.
So the motion is for the Historic Site and Monument Commission to have our top five recommendations of Creek Square, Carpenter Square, Taylor Square, Seven Sisters Square, and Law Square. Is there a second to that motion?
This is Catherine. I second.
So there's a motion and a second. Catherine, how do you vote?
I vote yes.
Eileen, yes.
Lisa, yes.
Sean, yes.
So thank you. So the motion passes. So we will be recommending the top five. Again, the City Council will still consider all of these names. Thank you all for your patience and for spending the time, taking the time out of your day to come here.
And do we have another meeting? What's our next?
Any new business, if any new business needs to be taken? Anyone? One question, Caitlin. Do we have any applications for the next meeting?
I'm sorry. The meeting is still going on.
We're about to adjourn, but if everyone could please keep it down just a little bit.
There's two.
Okay, so there will be a meeting. So there will be a meeting on September 7th, 2023. Without further objection, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.